the American Journal Works Side. You're jumping on with us. Happy Thursday, everyone. A lot happening over here, so we're excited that you're going to be with us for the next 3 hours because, folks, we've got a lot of stories to dive into. So thank you for being here. All right, we got our eyes on the White House right now because President Donald Trump is expected to do a signing ceremony around 4:45 p.m. Eastern time today. It's going to be a little bit of a later day for him because then at 8:15 p.m. Eastern today, he's going to be delivering remarks over the Congressional Ball. So he will be there doing just that. So it's going to be a late evening for the President of the United States, of course, but he's got a lot that he's probably been happy about lately. Obviously, immigration's going well for him. Gas prices are hitting extreme lows. Those are a couple of the good things, obviously. And a lot of other things not going well right now, but they seem to be hyper-focused on that. I've been, you know, watching as those within the Trump administration go out, and they continue to talk about that and discuss just that. But they also have been discussing, and we're going to talk about it in detail, in regards to that that vessel that was just captured, the tanker that was seized by the United States yesterday. The video footage that was released by the DOJ is very interesting. Sit back and watch to see what happened. We're going to give you the very latest on that, of course, because it looks like things are kind of ramping up between the United States and Venezuela. And again, I don't know why. I'll tell you, well, we know, kind of know why. But I will tell you that the bulk of our drugs do not come from Venezuela. The last data I looked at was around 10% do come from that region. So it's interesting to see the escalation and how quickly it's becoming between the United States and Venezuela. We'll keep following that, though, of course. President Trump also just rolling out the gold card, new visa program. I'll bring you the very latest on that as well, because the president's very excited about his gold card right now that he's been rolling out. And it's a very pricey one indeed. We'll also give you the very latest in regards to, pull it up, AutoPen. In case you guys didn't know, we are still sitting here waiting for there to be a move to be made, because we know that President, or I should just say Joe Biden, was not operating the AutoPen. It was the hacks behind him who were manipulating his presidency, of course, and they were doing their very best to let off all their best friends. Maybe they were just cashing out too. Probably that more so. Anyway, Senator Rand Paul is calling it out, but guess what? He's also calling it the DOJ, saying it's now your move. Make that move. I brought forward evidence that shows that Anthony Fauci was also heavily involved in AutoPen as well. What are you going to do about it? So I'll be talking to Liz Harrington about that in a little bit as well. And that's going to be a great conversation. There's also a top election attorney who's coming out and saying that federal proof of citizenship laws would have prevented election fraud. Shocker. Truly a shocker. Liz Harrington, this is like her focus, her beat. She really wants the president to buckle down when it comes to election fraud. So she's going to join us to discuss just that. She's the former spokeswoman for President Donald Trump. So we're excited to have her on the show today. We're also going to be calling out all of, there's been a lot actually coming out recently in regards to health care. The Unaffordable Care Act, obviously, many of you guys know, Obamacare. Well, obviously it was a fraud. It was a scam from day one. We all knew just that. Doesn't matter, though. Democrats, they'll push it through anyway and pretend like this was going to save the American people. We know that's not true, though. And now there's so much data coming out about just that. And you're going to want to see it because there was a confrontation, and I love it when they do this. There's a bit of a confrontation when one of the Democrats were confronted on this. We're going to play the video clip for you because it is quite the enlightening experience, I must say. All right, folks, we've got a lot of stories to dive into over the next 3 hours, so buckle up. It's a big one. More ahead. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We got 40% off site-wide going on right now, right this second. So head on over, stock up now, get your Christmas gifts delivered straight to your door. This is the easiest thing you can do. It's a very easy, easy thing. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Stock up on your Christmas gifts. Get them shipped directly to your door. And the best part about it is you are helping us with our funding for our very next operation when you do make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. So make sure you do just that. All right, more up ahead. Don't go anywhere. We got plenty to discuss.
You have until this Sunday, December 14th, 2025, to get 40% off store-wide at theolivestudiostore.com. And that means all of the incredible supplements that will enrich and empower your life. They really work. We have 5-star reviews, and they fund our operation taking on the globalists. So please do your Christmas shopping at theolivestudiostore.com. It is a 360 win for everybody. Now, ultramethylene blue liquid, 40% off. Bovine colostrum, the very best, running out, still 40% off. Ultramethylene blue caps, 40% off. Back in stock. Ultramethylene red, that's right, it's back in stock, but it has a very low supply. Ultimate sea moss, gummies and capsules, all back in stock, 40% off at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, please do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. Get great products that enrich your life and funds the tip of the spear in the fight against the globalists.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We got a jam-packed next 3 hours for you, and it's a lot of exposing we're going to do, specifically Obamacare. The numbers are finally dripping out. We know, of course, that it was all just a scam, but it's finally being called out. We hope this leads to something, but I'm going to map out where the latest pieces of information are coming from in regards to that. We'll also be joined today by Liz Harrington. She's the former spokeswoman for President Donald J. Trump, and she's got a lot to discuss. There was recently just a top election attorney who was testifying in front of Congress, and surprise, surprise, he says that federal proof of citizenship laws would have actually prevented election fraud. Shocker. We got the clip for you. We'll play it for you in just a little bit. We'll also be talking about AutoPen because Senator Rand Paul is calling out the DOJ for failing to really do anything about this. I mean, this is all in their court right now. What have they done? I haven't heard of anything. Liz Harrington will be sounding off on that as well. Plenty of other things to talk about in regards to the DOJ from there as well. Also, there's a really good clip yesterday of Tucker Carlson kind of giving his perspective in regards to the Charlie Kirk assassination. As many of you guys know, the FBI, who's not the lead agency investigating, obviously, that, but they are helping. There's a lot of criticism going around of a lot of the tips that have been circulating, whether or not they're being investigated. They say that they are, but they continue to say that no stone will be left unturned. But there's a lot of internal feuding, and Tucker's trying to settle it by kind of talking his way through all of this, saying that he likes both sides of all of this and not to get caught up in just this online feuding, but also saying that we should be skeptical and critical of our FBI. It doesn't matter if it's new faces who are leading the agency or so-called leading the agency. We'll play that clip for you. Also, Peter Navarro sounding off on why beef prices are so freaking high these days. I just paid, and I know it's like the leaner cut of ground beef, but I just paid $8.99 a pound. Or 4% fat ground beef. I've never actually paid that much in my life. And, you know, when you break it all down, Peter Navarro does, of course, he's pretty much telling you, yeah, there's four major companies that are controlling the pricing, and they're intentionally not bringing down those prices. So we'll play that clip for you as well, because Peter Navarro obviously is someone who we highly respect, and we want to hear his input on all of that. So we'll have that up ahead for you in just a little bit. Let's talk about how the House yesterday passed the $900 billion National Defense Authorization Act. That happening yesterday. Now, obviously, this passed in a very interesting way. 312 to 112 was the final count when it comes to that vote. 94 Democrats and 18 Republicans opposed the bill. Despite the final vote, the bill has barely cleared, obviously, all of its procedural votes just hours earlier. So it was kind of abrupt when it took place. Kind of abrupt. But now, obviously, that happening, and it was just an interesting count number. It's one of the largest that we've seen thus far. Congressman Greg Stubbe says he was happy to support the House passed conservative NDAA earlier this year, but it returned to the Senate, a bill that Dems leaders were more than happy about. So, folks, we'll continue to follow it, obviously, as it develops. But again, that's a massive chunk of change. Massive chunk of change. Also happening yesterday, Mexico passing tariffs. Mexico has approved 50% tariffs on China and other countries. Mexican lawmakers have approved a package about new tariffs impacting hundreds of products, which is set to take into effect on January 1st of 2026. The measure will impose tariffs up to 50% on more than 1,400 products. So that is very interesting. Now, obviously, they're looking to boost domestic production. So I guess tariffs might actually work. That's the goal. They might actually work. Let's continue on. So there's a lot more also happening all around the country. Let's talk about healthcare. Healthcare. Well, obviously, President Donald Trump is making this a main issue again. We're thankful that he is. Obviously, he tried to do this under his first term, wasn't very successful. We all know why. Now he is trying to redo all of this. And take a listen to clip one. And this one highlights how President Trump is sounding off on the Unaffordable Care Act.
Well, the Unaffordable Care Act, which is Obamacare, they call it now the Unaffordable because it's unaffordable. It used to be called the Affordable, but it was never affordable. It was always bad. It was basically designed for the benefit of insurance companies. And what we're doing is we want all of the billions and billions of dollars that went to insurance companies to go directly to the people, and they can buy their own health care. And people love it. I don't know if the Democrats are going to approve it because they want the insurance companies to make money. It was a scam. Obamacare was a scam. But we're going to see. I mean, the Republicans, I can tell you, want the money to go to the people. And we're winning that battle. The Democrats are having a hard time with it because they're in the pocket of the insurance companies. Yes, please.
Now, obviously, they're not very happy about that on the left. They don't like the fact that President Trump is calling out their scam. It's true, though. It's true. And we're getting more and more numbers that prove just that, that Obamacare was, in fact, a scam. Again, this was their sacred bell, a baby, I would say. They do their very best to try to defend it, but we all know it was just loaded with fraud and obviously being shoved in by lobbyists. Let's listen to clip two, because Speaker Mike Johnson also yesterday taking his time to outline the fraud that was associated with the subsidy system. Take a listen.
Over the last 2 years, this is investigators at the Government Accountability Office, okay? They submitted 24 fraudulent applications for the ACA subsidies, the Unaffordable Care Act subsidies, Obamacare, okay? Of the 24 fraudulent applications that they created intentionally to just see what would happen, 23 of them were approved. These applications were completely fraudulent. The investigators did not submit any Social Security numbers, citizenship documentation, or reported income documents. And 23 of the 24 applications were still approved. 18 of those, by the way, are still receiving coverages. They were as of September of this year. That means the Obamacare exchange and insurers didn't verify any of the information they're supposed to under the law, and they proceeded to pay tens of thousands of dollars to insurance companies for people who do not exist.
Now, obviously, that fraud recently being called out, too. There was a very big New York Post story on it. And, you know, my girl, Allison Steinberger, over at Lindell TV, got wind of it and wanted to confront a key member of Congress on this issue. That key member being a biological man, pretending to be a woman, Congressman Tim McBride. Well, he was in denial when being confronted with the pure facts in clip three. Take a listen.
Government watchdog group set up a number of fake accounts and discovered that 90% of Obamacare subsidies were actually granted without any documentation, no Social Security number, no income verification. What do you make of this, and why do you guys want to continue to extend a program that's clearly failed the American people, especially for another 3 years?
Well, I don't think the American people think that it's failed the American people, and that that study, quote-unquote, sounds like bullshit.
Well, it's right here. I actually have it.
Yeah, but it sounds like a bullshit study, not a bullshit methodology.
So because it sounds like BS, you just say that it's no good? I mean, I can show you it right here. New York Times reported on it.
Sounds like the methodology is pretty questionable.
All right, well, it's right here. Obamacare subsidies granted without documentation. 90% fraud rate.
That's a 90, first of all, that's not what that says, and you can mischaracterize what a report says, but that's not what it says. It does not say that there's a 90% fraud rate.
90% of fake accounts set up by government watchdog group.
That's
Speaker Johnson and Thune have been sounding the alarm on this for the last couple of days, ever since it was discovered. Any response to them talking about it?
Well, first of all, if they want to work with us and add in measures around verification for the ACA tax credits. We're ready to negotiate, but Mike Johnson has been nowhere to be seen when it comes to negotiating a path forward on this healthcare crisis, including skyrocketing premiums because of the expiration of the ACA tax credits.
So you guys are dead set on the 3 years. I mean, would you come to a compromise if it was 2 years, 1 year?
We've said that we are willing to work with anyone who's willing to seriously come to the table in good faith to extend the ACA tax credits.
See? They don't want to be burdened with the facts. That was the big issue here. When you pull out the facts, you tell them, you reach right from the article, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Good on Allison for going out there and confronting this very, very confused man on several different issues, of course. But again, it's good to see that they're having these conversations. These conversations need to be happening again because, folks, we need to get rid of Obamacare completely. The money, yeah. Should it go to the people? Probably, yeah. Just cut back on taxes. Let's turn to the boat strikes that are going on right now. Things are really heating up between, obviously, United States and Venezuela. And again, the last study I looked at, and we have to do more digging into this because I just don't understand the focus on Venezuela. I mean, obviously, I do. It's a ton of natural resources, of course. But in regards to how many drugs or how the drugs that do flood into the United States, obviously, it's worth addressing, but it's not the bulk of the fentanyl that's coming to the country isn't coming from Venezuela. I believe the last number I looked at was around 10%. That was from a few months back. But the reality of it is we are really focused in on going after Nicolas Maduro, who is the leader of Venezuela right now, and we are trying our very best to do just that. As many of you guys know, it's very controversial these days because, well, those on the left do love their drug traffickers, and so they're very upset when they see the strikes that are taking place on the individuals who are on vessels who are making their way, allegedly, to the United States with drugs. The chair of the House Armed Services Committee, Congressman Mike Rogers, well, he just recently ended the panel's inquiry into the United States military's, as many of you guys know, the very controversial September 2nd strike that took place. Many of you guys know they keep going out there, Democrats specifically, and trying to attack the Pentagon for going after that vessel. Now, there's been several reports out there. The Pentagon stands strongly saying, no, we handled this absolutely appropriately. And so it's interesting to sit back and to see. Now, yesterday, there was some big news that did pop up as well. And this is what I mean when I'm talking about it's ramping up between the U.S. and Venezuela. Yesterday, we saw footage that took place. And in that footage that was posted by the Attorney General of the United States, Ms. Pam Bondi, you see our federal government going out there and seizing an oil tanker. That oil tanker coming from Venezuela, according to her specifically, it was used to transport oil, obviously, from Venezuela and Iran. Now, again, obviously, they're not having that. Interesting enough, though, the FBI was actually involved in this. That's according to the AG herself. Homeland Security as well as the Coast Guard. Now, President Trump was asked about this in clip 5. Take a listen.
We're interested in the seizure of this tanker. Well, what happens to the oil on this ship?
Well, we keep it, I guess.
Where does it go? What port does it go to?
Well, you have to follow the tanker. You know, you're a good newsman. Just follow the tanker.
Do you know where
follow it. Get a helicopter. Follow the tanker.
Is it sure it's going to
But we're
going
to, I guess, assume we're going to keep the oil.
So I guess it's going to keep the oil. It's definitely got me a little, concerned. Is it? This is what I mean. A lot of people are saying, is it about oil? Well, it might be. It might be. I'm still up in the air on this, right? Yes, you do obviously want narco-terrorists killed, but are the people on these vessels, which they will not release their names, you know, very little about these people who are on these vessels. If they are obviously people associated with the cartels, then okay, yeah, fine. But obviously the cartels know what's going on right now. They're not going to be dumb enough to put their top officials or any individual who is a value on those vessels. So are they just blackmailing individuals who live in cities, villages nearby, and forcing them to get on these vessels and make that dangerous voyage to the United States? Likely. But again, the Pentagon won't tell you that. I've asked, actually. I know a lot of people feel very uncomfortable at asking that question, but you should know who's on those vessels if we're going to be striking them. I think it's a fair thing to even ask of our government. Tell us who's on those vessels. So again, I know it's very controversial. A lot of people are like, Brianna, they're just narco-terrorists. Yeah, that's a very easy claim to make. I am one who enjoys, number one, not trusting my government. Most importantly, number two, doing the research, the digging to figure out what's actually happening here. So if you were to give me the name, like pretty much find out for you who these people are exactly. But unfortunately, when I did ask the Pentagon if they ever were going to release the names of the individuals that were so far north of 80 at this point, people killed, they were going to release those names, and they did not give me a direct answer on that front, but did tell me they are confident that these are narco-terrorists that they are killing. Just keep that in mind. Not sure still how to feel about that one. Let's turn to another story. I want to talk about the gold card. This was a big one yesterday for President Donald Trump. He's introduced the gold card visa program. In order to apply, obviously, interested applicants are required to pay a non-refundable $15,000 processing fee. Once a person is approved, they are required to make a $1 million gift to the United States. Now, President Trump reacted to all of this just yesterday. Take a listen to clip six and the words that he said to describe this gold card, man. It's a pretty one. Take a listen.
So for an individual, it's $1 million. And for a corporation, it's $2 million. And as the president said, for a corporation, they spend $2 million. They can then have an employee. Full vetting, the best vetting the government has ever done. $15,000 vetting to make sure these people absolutely qualify to be in America. Absolutely qualify. And then the company can keep them here, and they have a path to citizenship, right? Obviously, they have to be perfect people in America, and having passed the vetting, after 5 years, they'll be available to become citizens, and then the corporation can put someone else on the card. So for a company, they can keep putting people on the card, one person per card, and for an individual, it's $1 million, and it's a gift to the United States of America to help America be great again under Donald Trump.
And there's really two gifts. It's a gift of getting somebody great coming into our country, because we think these will be some tremendous people that wouldn't be allowed to stay. You know, they graduate from college, they have to go back to India, they have to go back to China, they have to go back to France, they have to go back to wherever they came from. Very hard to stay. It's a shame. It's ridiculous things. We're taking care of that. The companies are going to be very happy. I know Apple's going to be happy, but a lot of the companies, Nobody talked to me more about it than Tim Cook. He said it's a real problem, and it's not going to be a problem anymore. As you know, they used to send people up to Canada and other places, other countries. So we solved that.
All right. So obviously, I know a lot of people feel mixed about this. Number one, you got to be really rich to get on this and to get access to this program. Obviously, that doesn't make many happy. But again, it's also a great way to filter out those who really just should not be getting these visas, who are not here to actually contribute. So this one's a toss-up for me. I understand, of course, why. Some might be skeptical and not really support this. Like you're buying access through the visa program, but again, so many people do anyway. It's a nice way to kind of filter through a lot of that. All right, I want to turn to this other clip, this one being the latest from James O'Keefe. Man, I never understand how people are able to not make the connection when they're on a date, especially men, with James O'Keefe. This should be like a training seminar. There should be billboards all over Washington, D.C. and elsewhere where, you know, obviously James O'Keefe lurks. Well, sadly, there was and I mean that sarcastically because this guy seems like a scumbag. There was a Georgetown professor who was caught on hidden camera pretty much just bragging openly. Oh, by the way, he's also a former NPR correspondent, bragging about how he really built his career off of race, culture, and justice. Well, he got caught by James O'Keefe. Take a listen to clip seven.
Because I was with a bunch of stupid white people.
Lawrence is his name?
Yeah, Lawrence, yeah.
Lawrence, what do you think of him?
I mean, he's just a sellout. He's like a coon.
Clarence Thomas?
The biggest coon of them all.
What do you think of Candace Owens?
Another coon.
Have you ever heard of the guy named, his name is James O'Keefe. Well, the thing is that I actually am James O'Keefe.
Are you really?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm not James O'Keefe.
Are you not?
I am.
Really?
Yes. And you don't know that...
Leave the temple.
You're all right. You called black people, quote, coons.
Whoa.
He's back in the camera. That's a misdemeanor. You can't.
Oh, man. James O'Keefe caught him again. I don't know how you don't know that that's James. I really don't understand. Especially somebody who worked for, what, NPR? Come on, man. They never told you to look out for James O'Keefe. You know, Grindr and apps like that. It might be like one of the biggest, greatest threats to national security. Especially if you're someone with a leaky mouth like that guy did. Yeah, obviously not like the most bombshell uncovering when it comes to what he was spewing. Obviously not fans of black conservatives, of course. I don't know. My favorite part, though, is the run. It's very dramatic. You're not James O'Keefe. Why doesn't he have a disguise on? You know, sometimes James will, like, slap a mustache on his face. And you're just like, oh, James, that's, like, not even a good mustache. They still fall. Oh, the wig. This was a great one, too. How do you not know? It looks like a Dollar Tree wig. And they always fall for it. They always fall for it. I don't know. There needs to be seminars for these people of how not to fall for James O'Keefe. But they always do. The guy's made literally a living off of this. It's pretty impressive. So again, another individual learning the hard way. Another individual learning the hard way. I guess also, I remember seeing a video. I guess it was more of a letter. The individual that you saw in that video, he was apparently begging James O'Keefe not to release the footage. And so James was asking his Twitter followers whether or not to release it. And obviously, well, they won. I also wanted to bring you an update regarding the Epstein case. So far, the judge recently in that case has just granted the DOJ's request to unseal records from the 2019 sex trafficking case. Now, again, that's a big one, of course, as we continue to hope and see what we uncover in all of this. Now, again, this one, it's one of the many that have gone on. There was back in Florida. This was back in 2023. Florida legislators did release the transcripts from the grand jury case that was happening in Florida. I did an extensive report on all of that. It seems like, again, they're continuing to dig for more information. We'll see where this leads us to, but according to my sources, nothing new is coming from that one. Nothing new. So we won't oversell you on that front. All right, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. It's 40% off site-wide. That's 40% off site-wide. Now's a great time to stock up on all of your favorites, like the sea moss gummies, of course. I know so many of you love it. You got to grab some of those. Also, when you're there, make sure you try out our creatine gummies. Everyone's got to grab some of those. So 40% off right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. Don't go anywhere.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it. and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Our Methylene Blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck, too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited populous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot more to unpack, so buckle up. It's going to be a good one, of course. I don't know if you guys heard, Tucker Carlson released a video yesterday, and it was in regards to Charlie Kirk's assassination. Now, many people are questioning, obviously, the circumstances and what took place. And the FBI is not leading the investigation, but they are assisting. The Utah police are the ones who are really focused on this. This seems to be what they're leading. Obviously, there's a suspect that they claim has been arrested for the murder of Charlie Kirk. Now, again, there are some people that believe that more people are likely involved in all of this, but we've only heard of one arrest thus far. Now, again, it doesn't really make any sense as to one person being involved in this and no one knew anything else about these plans to go out there and kill Charlie in Utah that day. And it's just absolutely devastating as we continue to sift through all the information, obviously, and try to figure out what happened. Well, we're not really getting much in the way of answers, and it's creating more of a desire for the American people to figure out what exactly happened that day. We heard from the very beginning that there was possibly these left-wing terror groups tied to Charlie's death, and or his murder, I should say. And it's got a lot of people divided on the issue. Now, again, I've kind of stayed out of tossing around conspiracies. If there's not enough evidence to back something up, I don't really like to talk about it. I like to be as transparent as we can, of course, but again, we don't know a lot of the facts that should probably be out there by now. I mean, that's the reality of this. So when you sit there and you create this level of, I believe, intentional confusion, a lot of people are trying to figure out all the answers. So Tucker's trying to play it safe with both sides and say that he's friends with both sides. Obviously, when I say that, I'm referring to the Turning Point Group, obviously his widow, Erica as well. And then you have Candace Owens, who's out there every night and she's pumping on her show all of these theories that she has in regards to who may have been or what groups may have been behind Charlie's murder. So Tucker is not holding back, though. He is offering criticism in regards to the FBI and thinks that it's okay for all of us to criticize the FBI, of course. I want to take a listen to clip 8 and specifically his angle as to why it's okay for Americans to ask these specific questions of our federal agencies. Take a listen.
Dan Bongino and Kash Patel, for that matter, are at the top of the org chart, but this is a huge organization and parts of it act independently from leadership. That's the nature of bureaucracy. So saying, well, I like Dan Bongino and don't think he would do something wrong on purpose, which is how I feel, doesn't mean that I trust the FBI or have to trust the FBI. And again, why would I? If there's one lesson of the last election, the 2024 election, it's that a lot of our biggest systems, our biggest institutions have rot in them, and that needs to be reformed. And as if we needed more proof of it, we'd learned what a lot of us suspected for years, that January 6th was in effect a setup and the FBI was key to that setup. And it's still not clear that everyone involved in that setup at the FBI has been fired or punished for that. So no person, no American is under some moral obligation to believe everything the government tells you, particularly institutions or agencies that have a long documented, factually documented track record of committing crimes, participating illegally in our political system, for example, as the FBI has done, manufacturing crimes, setting people up, distorting justice. That's the opposite of their job, of course, which is to get to justice through facts and then to tell the rest of us how they arrived at this conclusion, to prove to the rest of us that the right people are being punished. So we're not under any obligation. Of course, we shouldn't like invent theories to discredit the FBI, but it's not enough to have government officials tell us, well, this is the truth. We have a right, probably an obligation to say, well, can you prove it? And if you can't, I don't have to believe you. So if there's one thing that bothers me above all about the investigation into Charlie Kirk is that that is getting lost as people argue over what happened. We are potentially letting our largest federal law enforcement agency off the hook.
Now, again, obviously, the FBI is not leading the investigation into Charlie Kirk's assassination, but they are helping, as many of you guys heard. You know, the director of the FBI, Kash Patel, did say that no stone was going to be left unturned. They were going to continue to assist. Now, again, folks, this is pretty mind-blowing that we're at this place right now. We haven't learned anything. And yesterday I did put up a tweet, and I know I think most people did agree with it, though, were trying to tell me, and I know the FBI is not leading the investigation, I know, but the FBI is leading the investigation into those who possibly have connections to this. I'm talking about the left-wing terrorist groups, the organizations, the ones who have been funded by, obviously, the people that hate us, the countries that hate us. That was supposed to be their lead. We haven't heard much. In my mind, right, because everyone, they all knew Charlie Kirk. They were all friends with Charlie Kirk. So in my mind, how this was all going to go down was right after the funeral, because we knew about all these left-wing groups. We knew exactly who was funding them. We've been reporting and talking about this for years now. This isn't a surprise. This was a very easy investigation to kind of go through. Since Americans were so fired up because they just watched Charlie Kirk take a bullet to the throat, I figured they're going to be ripping doors off the hinges the very next day, right after his funeral. You were going to send a message because you were going to be able to finally do, and that was even one of Charlie's last wishes, according to President Trump. You're going to go after these left-wing terrorist groups who are destroying this country, foreign-funded. And the American people would have backed it. They would have backed it. Because what we saw that day was absolutely horrific. And every American, anyone with a conscience, everyone who cares about other people, regardless of how you feel about politics, saw what took place that day. They saw what took place that day. They wanted justice instantly. Would have been the great opportunity to carry out Charlie's last wishes and to go after those left-wing terrorist groups that are trying to destroy this country. But sadly, nothing's happened. We're all just expected to sit down, wait for justice to be served in court. We're tired of seeing this. I'm tired of seeing that we have to sit here and just wait for this guy to have his court appearance, his day in court. It shouldn't just be that. Obviously, yes, he should have his day in court, but there was more that could have been done. Significantly more that could have been done. That was the opportunity to go after these groups. And Charlie would have been okay with it. The president of the United States literally said that one of his last conversations with Charlie was about going after these left-wing terror groups. So what did we do? Well, we did nothing. We did nothing. And again, they always say, oh, it's an ongoing investigation. No, it's not an ongoing investigation. We've known about what these groups have been doing for quite some time now. There have been many, many reporters who have covered this. The evidence is staring you right in the face. Their financial records are staring you right in the face. You could have quickly swept in and gone after all of these individuals, but they decided not to do that. So far, we've seen nothing. Not a single thing has been done. And so while you see Tucker Carlson out there talking about, yeah, you're right to ask these types of questions when it comes to your FBI, who's very, very corrupt, has a long history of being corrupt. And the new leadership, although Dan Bongino will tell you it's a new guard, they haven't proven anything. What have they proven to you? They've shown you nothing. They've shown you absolutely nothing. They've given you the bare minimum and are telling you to be happy with this. Oh, keep waiting. More to come. As if we're watching a novella. It's not a novella. This is our reality. You don't fix it. Everything is gone. This country's gone. It will drag us all off to prison. It's not even a fear-mongering thing. We saw what they did under the last regime. And so here they are telling you again, oh, just wait. This guy will get it in court. But you had the opportunity to go after these left-wing terrorist groups, and you did nothing. You did nothing. What tone would it have sent for the very next day for all of these people who have been leading these groups to destroy this great country, having their doors ripped off the hinges by the FBI? Would have been great. Would have stopped a lot of the threats that we continuously get on the right. But no. No. We're handed the bare minimum. We're told to be happy and smile about it. They have these press conferences, these round tables where they gather in front of the cameras and they talk about all the awful things that happened under the last regime. Wow, can you believe it? Don't worry. Pam Bondi's leading an investigation into this. The FBI is leading an investigation into this. They're all investigating something. But when it comes to the results, they got nothing for you. We're fed up. We're tired. This is exhausting. It's exhausting to sit here and continue to tell you about ongoing investigations, the uncoverings that have come about from the DOJ, who just shifts it and hands it over to Congress. Look what we found. Look at this. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And the answer is nothing. The answer is nothing. You see, this is the problem, right? Because when the roles are reversed, Democrats have no problem of using the FBI as their personal police force for trespassers, allegedly. And so here they are handing you the bare minimum, telling you to be happy about this. It's infuriating. It truly, truly is infuriating. I don't know what more can be said about this. I don't know what more can be done about this. We continue to talk about this. And sadly, these people just don't even care. They don't even care. I think it's an absolute disgrace to call yourself a friend of Charlie Kirk, to be in a top law enforcement position, obviously, as they are. And then to sit here and just say, we're still investigating. The evidence is right in front of you. I mean, how many incredible journalists have broken down the left-wing funding that has gone to these groups? The George Soros and others who have done just that. funneled all of these money, all of this money to these far left-wing groups that are trying actively to destroy this country. You know, I'm just fired up about this. I've had enough. I've had enough of sitting back here and just having to pretend like something's being done behind the scenes. And don't be like, there's nothing worse than when I'm reading through comments and going through comments and someone's like, this is a game of 4D chess, Brianna. Get with it. That's your excuse. That's your excuse. Because I won't sit here in 4 years from now and go, what the heck did they do? Nothing. I'm supposed to believe that there's a greater plan to this. And guess what? Nothing happens. Nothing ever happens. I just thought after that day, you'd see something happen. You'd see some type of reaction because these people called him their friend. Maybe that means nothing to people these days. Should we question their friendship? Yeah, I would. And I'm going to. Especially when there's reports that the FBI director, Kash Patel, who was very close with Charlie Kirk, ended up going out to fancy dinners after Charlie was brutally assassinated. I actually didn't even eat that night because I was so disgusted with what I saw. How does one watch that video and eat? So these people are disgraceful. They call themselves friends of Charlie's, but gosh, those aren't friends. Because where are they now? Let's turn to another story. Let's talk about this new whistleblower report coming out. Interesting enough, there's more reports in regards to the Somalians who are committing fraud. Now, this new whistleblower comes, who has just recently came out. She works at a major air hub, airport hub, where a lot of these Somalians actually do come through, St. Paul, specifically, MSP. And she's detailing specifically what she witnessed to Liz Collin, who's doing an incredible job at actually following the money in Minnesota. Many of you guys know Liz was the great journalist behind that documentary that looked into the George Floyd murder, or killing as they always call it, but she was going to highlight the fact that he was overdosed by fentanyl and then cleared everything to show you the real corruption behind the scenes. She did actually an incredible job with that report, Liz Collin. So now she's digging into the Somalian fraud that's going on right now in Minnesota. And I want you to listen to this whistleblower and what they're specifically detailing, because this is insane. Take a listen to clip 9.
16 to 2021. Liz, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you, Liz. I applaud you on Alpha News.
We appreciate that. I have to say, though, this sounds like something out of a spy movie. People going through security and getting on planes with suitcases filled with millions of dollars in cash. Tell us what you've actually seen as a TSA agent during the time you worked there.
Well, I've actually seen a lot of things, but the most shocking is exactly that. I saw suitcases filled with millions of dollars of cash, and the couriers were always Somali men traveling in pairs, and they got through the checkpoint. It just really absolutely blew my mind the first time you open a suitcase and you see millions of dollars of cash. And typically what would happen is a LEO or a law enforcement officer would come, check their credentials. I don't know what kind of questions they asked them, but their IDs were always documented, and probably their plane tickets as well. So there is a trail of that out there. And I would believe with all the cameras at the airport that if they started there, they could probably find each and every individual that brought money through the checkpoint.
Obviously, this seems suspicious, if not alarming, given what seems to be a pattern here. So you're talking about millions of dollars flying out of Minneapolis, and you think it happened about every week or so? Is that right?
So it certainly seemed like it happened every week. The suitcases came in, and the MO was always two Somalian men traveling in pairs. Sometimes they both had suitcases. And so the process was, as a TSA agent, we would pull the bag, and then we'd bring them to a private screening room. And we would open the suitcase and make sure that that's all it was stacks of cash. And a LEO would come and maybe question them and for sure take a picture of their identification. And I'm assuming their plane ticket. I'm not sure. So there is a trail out there. Between that, I mean, it has to be documented somewhere, and all the cameras in the airport, I would imagine if they'd like to find all this cash, they should start at the airport. Because in the 5 years I was there, I believe $1 billion went through the airport.
$1 billion. As if this isn't troubling enough, Liz, it's not just money you watched leave MSP, is that right?
Yes, that is correct. There was another instance, again, a Somali man that had a carry-on luggage filled with brand new passports. And he was allowed to get through the checkpoint. So where he went with those passports is anybody's guess.
Yeah, not surprising that this was going on. Of course, we hope that this is something that the federal government looks into. I mean, there's just so much. There's so much here. Makes a good case to never let these people into our country again. But if you need more facts, we've got more for you. This is the latest numbers, the breakdown as to how much the Somalian migrants are leeching off of the system. Specifically, though, in Minnesota, there's about 75,000 of them living there currently. That's according to the Center for Immigration Study. But more specifically, nearly every Somalian household with children, have about 89% of receival rates when it comes to welfare benefits. So 89% of them are receiving welfare benefits. The breakdown, too, is absolutely disgusting in itself. More than half, 52% of children in these homes live in poverty, sadly, but 8% of the children in these homes, sorry, so they live in poverty. That's what this whole thing was. This one doesn't even make any sense. Don't know how that got in there. The other statistic that's really, really important in all of this is about 39% of the working age Somalians who have come into this country have no high school diploma, obviously. So that just goes to show, well, what can they do if they don't have a high school diploma? Obviously, these aren't the top earners. These aren't going to be people that are going to be contributing much, of course. But here we are again, just taking them in. When it comes to food stamps, 54% of these Somalian households in Minnesota receive food stamps. Isn't that crazy? 73% of Somalian households in the region also have one member in their home that receives Medicaid as well. So leeching off the system, I mean, that's the primary cause in all of this. They're leeching off the system. They're getting everything that they want, of course, at your expense, at your expense. Matt Walsh also doing a great job breaking down the numbers, specifically going over how many people what they're actually contributing tax dollar-wise. It's about $800 per Somalian. It's insane. The numbers are insane. The numbers are absolutely insane. So hopefully this is something that we could actually fix. But again, this is the reason why they brought them here in the first place. Because Democrats need voters, obviously. And they need people that need the system. I want to highlight this one. This one gets me so fired up because I continue to go and try to get steaks. As many of you guys know, I'm carnivore. So when it comes to the prices on these steaks, I'm ticked off because they're not coming down anytime soon. Now, President Trump obviously directing the antitrust division over the DOJ to launch an investigation into all of this. Peter Navarro is breaking down why steaks are just so freaking expensive right now. Take a listen to clip 10 and his how he calls out the four major companies and how they're fixing and rigging the system.
Ouch. $22. You ever wonder why your ribeye costs twice what it used to? Let's talk about the big beef cartel.
Four giant packers, Cargill, JBS, Tyson, and National Beef, control over 80% of America's beef supply. They squeeze ranchers by paying less for cattle and gouge families by charging more for meat. Under Biden, beef prices jumped almost 9% a year, twice the Trump-era rate, and big beef cashed in. President Trump has ordered DOJ to investigate Big Beef for collusion and price fixing, and he's rebuilding competition with more small local processors. Bottom line, Democrats cause inflation. Trump cures inflation.
All right, so it's a good video. It's a very informative video. We appreciate just that. But listen, folks, we had obviously a cattle rancher on this show just a few days ago, and the results of that, actually probably a couple of weeks ago, and the results of that were well, very telling. The video actually went viral. It caught a lot of people's attention because most people don't realize that there is a beef cartel. Well, President Trump has decided to force the antitrust division in force. I mean, they're very willing to do just that. It's being ran right now by Gail Slater, who does an incredible job, and she wants to get to the bottom of this. It's top priority for her, of course, especially because, you know, we're all paying for it. We're wondering, well, why aren't the prices coming down? So it's something that they're actively looking to right now. But those four companies, those are the key ones. Local cattle ranchers always say that's what they're up against. And that's the reason why these prices are so out of control. So again, it's good to hear Peter Navarro break down the numbers specifically and walk us through all of this. But folks, I am so fed up with this. $8.99 for a pound of ground beef right now is what I got to pay. $8.99. Remember the glory days when it was like $3.99 for a pound? It's absolutely absurd, and it's only getting higher. I used to be able to get good deals. I don't know if you guys, if you're someone who shops at obviously these bulk stores. There's a, up north, there was a store called BJ's that we used to go wholesale for. We used to be able to get 2 pounds for like 10 bucks. It was so inexpensive. Now it's ridiculous. You're still paying $17 for 2 pounds. So it's a top issue, of course, by the antitrust division, who has been hyper-focused on this one. So we're going to wait to see what the results are of their investigation, but we need cheaper beef, especially those New York strips. I was just yesterday looking at the store. I'm like, why is it $25 a pound for New York strip? That also going up just recently as well. All right, folks, we got more to dive into in just a bit. So do not go anywhere. Stephen Miller calling out CNN because CNN refuses to book him on their program. Why? Well, because they're upset. They're upset. I'll tell you why in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. It is 40% off site wide. No promo code necessary, of course. And that's going to be for a limited time. That sale's going to end soon. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. It's a perfect time to stack up on your sea moss gummies, Christmas gifts as well. And I keep telling you, if you haven't done so already, you got to try those creatine gummies. The blue raspberry is my personal favorite. Sour apple, good too if you're a fan of sour apple, but I'm a little biased. I do like my blue raspberry. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. 40% off site wide for a limited time only. No promo code required. It's a great time to stock up on Christmas gifts and make sure you receive your gifts in time. It also helps keep us on air when you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. And helps us plan for our future operations. So we greatly appreciate when you do just that. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and stock up while you still can. 40% off. That's an incredible, incredible deal over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, more up ahead. Don't go anywhere.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating, 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Aboard. More to discuss in just a bit. A lot of headlines going on. A lot of sound bites coming your way in just a bit as well. Apparently, it was kind of like a little bit of an exchange. Nancy Mace, the congresswoman from South Carolina, she's also running for governor in South Carolina as well. She's getting called out a lot these days because a lot of people think that she's over fabricating. She's also accused in a civil lawsuit of lying and going after one of her ex-fiancés and his friends as well. Not happy about that, but again, she denies those claims and says that's not true and that she's been truthful on all fronts. But again, no criminal charges filed there. I'm referring to allegations that individuals were filmed, specifically her as well. Nude images of them were filmed and saved. Now, she made those allegations. The individuals that she named specifically deny it. They've done a very extensive job at denying it, actually. Multiple lawsuits filed. Well, now she's also being called out in regards to her exchange with TSA. Maria Bartiromo did just that on Fox just a little bit ago. I'll play that clip for you as well. It's like people have had enough of Nancy Mace. She always seems to make a situation about her and then wants to distance herself as if this is some type of bigger issue. It's strange. It's strange. And a lot of people saw the video, and although it didn't look like she was being aggressive, according to those officers that were there present, they did write in the report that she was screaming and cursing at them. Sure, they've got the footage somewhere. Now, May says she's requested they release the footage, but they have not done so. Apparently, that footage with the audio does not exist, what I heard in one report. But, Nancy Mace, she's not really making a good case for herself these days. We'll play that clip for you in a bit, though. Also, the Transportation Department is going after those liberal states that have decided to allow both illegal aliens and people just can't speak English, usually goes hand in hand though, to get CDLs. Well, Sean Duffy is obviously leading the transportation division, coming out and saying that they've got a new announcement in regards to that. How they're pushing back? Well, it might involve federal funding. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Also, CNN is apparently running from Stephen Miller, which is quite fascinating. They don't like Stephen Miller at all. They're afraid of him these days. Every time he goes on their shows, it's a mess for them. It doesn't go over well. They only have their talking points, nothing more. And Stephen Miller does a great job at cutting back and targeting them whenever they spew a lie. And obviously they don't like the sound bites anymore, so they're trying to not allow Stephen Miller on, according to him. We'll play that clip for you in just a bit. We'll also have Liz Harrington joining the show in the third hour, of course. Liz is ready to sound off in regards to the DOJ. We've got, though, obviously that story we talked about earlier this week. We even had Enrique Tarrio on the show. I did reach out to Judge Pirro about why they have an alleged corrupt prosecutor still working over in the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office. That individual is prosecuting the J6 pipe bomb suspect. Jocelyn Ballantyne is her name. And, well, when I reached out for comment, nobody wanted to talk about her. Nobody. Nobody. Even President Trump, when he was asked about it, gave a very short rebuttal comment on her and then kicked it away. So we'll ask the former Trump spokesperson about just that. Plus election fraud. There was a top election attorney who, surprise, surprise, says that federal proof of citizenship laws would prevent voter fraud. Shocker alert. And I'm not going to tell you that. We obviously know that. You don't need an attorney to tell you that. That's exactly why they do just that. They don't want to know if you're a U.S. citizen or not, because it's all about stealing your elections. It's all about stealing the elections. All right, more to discuss in just a bit. In the meantime, if you haven't done so already, head on over to the, and there's no the in front of it, just alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. It's a great time to do just that because, folks, that's where any future plans might be. God forbid if they shut that front door. That's where you're going to want to catch up with us. That's how this information war doesn't end. Head on over right now. Download the app. In the meantime, too, it's 40% off the AlexJonesStore.com right now. 40% off the shop. It's for a limited time. No promo code necessary. All your favorite items, 40% off right now over at the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. All right, more happening in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Yes, folks, a lot going on over here. So welcome, welcome, welcome. We are going to be taking calls in the next segment. So if you'd like to give us a call, do just that. Any topics we've discussed thus far, if you want to give your opinion, or maybe there's a new story that we missed out on, call right now, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That is the number you are going to want to call. And we'll get to those in about, I'd say, 25 minutes. So give us a call. We'll go from the top of the call list all the way down to the bottom. And hopefully we get to everyone, of course, because I always try my best to do just that. All right. In the meantime, though, I wanted to get to this clip because just a few moments ago, Maria Bartiromo was interviewing Congresswoman Nancy Mace. Now, Congresswoman Nancy Mace is under a lot of heat these days because a lot of people are fired up. She makes a lot of allegations, and some people call them lies. Currently, right now, there is a pending lawsuit with Nancy Mace and an ex-fiance in regards to allegations that she has made and that her ex actually excessively denies. So it's interesting. Maria Bartiromo is kind of grilling her a bit in regards to TSA. There's a story about how she was kind of cursing up a storm when she was at the airport. We've seen the footage. The footage doesn't look like she's being very aggressive, but police and the police report specifically do claim that she was cursing. So Bartiromo did ask her a couple of questions on that front. We've got that for you in clip 21. Take a listen.
Well, Congresswoman, the Charleston International Airport has concluded its internal investigation into an October incident where you were involved. Authorities alleged that you exhibited irate behavior while being escorted to an early morning flight. Now, Congresswoman, I know that you posted the video. I watched your video of you on the phone and then putting the phone down to screen your ticket and then walking on the flight. You say officials falsified much of a police report. What happened?
They did file a fictitious police incident report. Here's the thing, Maria. We have to take our security very seriously. If you're conservative, if you're well-known, if you have fought the transgender community like I have exponentially, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's public assassination, the death threats, the amount of political violence, the celebration of the killing of conservatives is deeply disturbing. I like Elon Musk said the other day, he can't go out in public because one mistake and you're dead. I had an incident just 3 weeks ago where I was in public. It was the last time I was in public, and I had someone, it was a leftist person, come up to me aggressively, physically threaten me in front of a group of people, including my security. And so I take these things seriously. And when there's a security breach, you know, again, one mistake can have devastating consequences. And I'm not one to just, I'm not a patsy. I just don't sit around. I'm not a doormat. And I want to fix the issues when I see them. If there's security breaches, let's fix it. Let's do the work that's necessary. And the video that was put out on Monday, I'm literally asking the TSA for help. So I just, I'm going to make sure that I'm safe, that my children are safe, my employees are safe, that conservatives, that we're not going to see any more assassinations in this country. We have to take it seriously.
I understand. It sounds like with that whole explanation, it sounds like you're explaining some kind of behavior. What I'm asking you is what happened? Well, you're suing the airport and American Airlines?
Well, I've drafted that suit, but what happened was I showed up to the airport. Security was not there. It was a security breach. It was one of over two dozen security breaches I've had at that airport this year. And so it's, for me, it's like we have to hold people accountable. And I'm going to do that. I expressed, you know, my frustration with it, but I didn't call anybody any names. That was falsified in the police report. You saw the video with the American Airlines gate agent. I was on a conference call. There was no incident at the gate. So it's just, let's be honest, let's be real, and let's fix the problem.
All right, Congressman. And we'll be waiting and watching.
Thank you.
All right. Good to see you.
So honestly, folks, Nancy Mace is always a victim of something. And so it's really hard to believe her all the time. I mean, the reality of it is we see her all the time. The victimhood card is constantly being thrown out there. And it's so frustrating, right? Because she's a congresswoman. She's a congresswoman. Again, her, I don't even know what to make of it anymore. She wants to sue everyone who says something negative about her. She's threatened defamation claims against independent journalists who are publishing court-filed documents as stories. So time and time again, and that was, by the way, Colin Rugg she threatened to sue on X because he was going through that lawsuit that was filed against her from her ex-fiancé, in which he accuses her of, get this, lying. And she was doing it a lot. I mean, she was not the, you know, this is her perspective. But she was going out there making claims against the man and several other men using their first and last names. And still, I haven't seen any criminal charges filed against them. So she said, oh, the prosecutor's corrupt. Oh, the law enforcement's corrupt. She had an excuse for everything as to why there was no criminal charges filed against these men who she claimed were committing sexual assaults, filming a lot of this, and then filming nude photos or videos of her, I should say, which looked like a security camera that was installed. Now, in her allegations that she made, and she did an interview with Steven Crowder. He did grill her on a lot of this, and rightfully so, which unfortunately for his team resulted in a lawsuit, not by Nancy Mace, though, by one of the men that she continuously outlines and she names constantly. She's going out there naming first name, last name of these men, again, who have not been criminally charged. So now they're suing, hopefully trying to clear their names, obviously. Because again, if there were crimes here, it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that Nancy Mace hasn't received any assistance from local law enforcement there. But as you heard her say, every law enforcement agency is bad. Every law enforcement agency is not helping Nancy Mace out. State, local, federal, apparently. So at what point do you sit there and go, probably not the law enforcement agencies. Now, again, she's going to threaten to sue everyone. She's going to threaten to sue American Airlines. I mean, it's like so ridiculous. She's got the lawsuit drafted up. There's no way someone has all this funding to fund these lawsuits, especially if you're a member of Congress. These are very expensive lawsuits. And now she's being sued for defamation by an ex-fiance. It's just frustrating. Because she continues to say that she wants to be this leader in Congress in regards to helping sexual assault victims. But folks, all I continue to hear her do is make everything about herself. Law enforcement has failed her. Different law enforcement agencies, prosecutors, everyone has failed her. And so I could only sit here and continue to listen to this and just roll my eyes at this point. Because Nancy Mace sounds like a professional victim. A professional victim. Now, again, did they falsify that police report? Well, it's likely they probably maybe did. But she's still going out there and suing, she claims, drafted up, ready to go, other entities. It's just frustrating to listen to this woman because that's not her job. And this is the problem with our politicians. They love to make things about themselves. We talk about Jasmine Crockett all the time. Female politicians, I should say, they have a real issue with this. Makes one think twice before you vote for them. You see, they can claim to be conservative, but when they get there, it's just never the case. It's never the case. Nancy Mace these days does sound like a feminist. No other way to say it. She's the victim. She's the victim in everything. Let's shift gears a little bit now. I want to go to clip 11 because the transportation department's trying to crunch down regards to those left-wing blue states, states who have just decided to just give away commercial driver's licenses. Specifically, though, to illegal invaders who have come into our country and shouldn't be here in the first place. But even better, those who are not proficient in English. Now, they do have to be proficient in English, of course, to obtain CDLs. So what's the transportation department doing about this? Well, according to Sean Duffy, who leads the agency, they're getting ready to revoke federal funding. Take a listen.
Several states that have not been in compliance. That would be Washington, California, and New Mexico. Those are the three states that have not complied with this rule. We are going to give these states 30 days to come into compliance with truck drivers speaking proficiently the English language, or we're going to look at federal funding.
Well, it's good to hear. Probably should have started a couple months sooner on that front, but good to hear. Obviously, we need our federal government to start pulling away funding from all of this, even the states that are giving away driver's licenses to non-U.S. citizens, illegal aliens. We don't know who these people are, and this is a massive threat. We've heard the warnings in regards to potentially terrorists obtaining these CDLs, loading up their trucks with potentially explosives. And well, what are they going to do about it? Well, they could actually plot a massive terror attack on U.S. soil with that. So it's deeply, deeply concerning, especially also because in regards to the fact that states like New York literally don't even know these people's first names that they're giving these licenses out to, specifically driver's licenses. There were several photos that were posted by DHS in regards to just that. They're literally handing out driver's licenses to people and writing no name because those people did not give them their first name. Wouldn't you want to know who's on the road? And this is the thing. It's not just a blue thing. It's not a blue state thing. Everyone's very dismissive on this front, saying, oh, you know, just Democrats doing what Democrats do. No, they actually leave your state and then they go to other places. Obviously, we saw the fatality in Florida, that fatal. Well, it wasn't just one, sadly. So this is what's going on. We need to buckle down on all of this. This should be a top priority. It needs to be a top priority. Purging these people off of our streets needs to become of top priority. It's also worth noting, I saw a video over the weekend too of DHS stopping random trucks in Texas and asking people, are you a U.S. citizen? Now, obviously, asking isn't really going to buckle down on that, but there are some legal things that they can't do. I mean, look at this. People have no regard. No regard. That this driver of this truck, by the way, allegedly under the influence during all of this. They didn't even hit his brakes. Whoopsies. Yeah, look at this guy. It's just so absurd in itself. This guy having no remorse after just killing three people. I believe all three of them were immigrants themselves. Doesn't even blink after just killing people. Does he need to make a U-turn? This is the kind of filth we've brought into our country. Folks, Andy Ngo did a good report that I wanted to also bring up as well. This is a follow-up on that Tim Pool story brought to you on Monday. Andy Ngo contacted the local sheriff's office over there, Berkeley County Sheriff's Office, and he did, in fact, get a press release back in regards to what took place on Friday at Tim Pool's studio/home. In that press release, they did say that the incident was reported by Pool Security, and that they responded to the property. Security reported hearing a loud bang, bangs, plural, when a dark gray sedan drove by multiple times. The sheriff's office is asking anyone with information regarding this incident to contact them below. Let me pull up that number for you guys. 304-267-7000. That's a number they're asking folks to call in case you do know anything in regards to that shooting. 304-267-7000. Again, folks, people on the internet told you this was fake. It looks like we have the documents to back it up. Looks like they have the documents to back it up. All right, let's turn to Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller is one of my favorite people in the administration, mainly because he's got zingers for days. And most people don't like it. They don't like it. They don't like it. In clip 12, he details why CNN won't have him on anymore. They're not really interested in talking to him. Take a listen.
So over the last few days, our brilliant White House communications shop has reached out to CNN, which, of course, is running one fake news hit piece after another. And they said, Stephen Miller would like to come on your network to rebut any of these lies. And they asked, what show? They said, Stephen Miller will do any show from dawn to dusk. They said, what topic? The White House said, Stephen is available to discuss any topic with any host at any time. As far as you're concerned, Stephen has no scheduling conflicts at all. He will make himself available from the first hour of air to the last hour of air on any subject. And you know what is CNN's response was, we will not take him, period, for any show on any topic. That is completely true, Sean.
Oh, man. CNN really afraid of having Stephen Miller on. Of course, they are scared that the truth might get exposed and their lies might be exposed as well. Now, although Sean Hannity is cracking up at all of this, the reality is Fox News also has a ban list as well. And so if the roles were reversed, possibly someone like Stephen Miller would also be banned from making their way to, Fox News. So again, very, very interesting though to hear Miller kind of pop off on that front and expose all of these corrupt individuals. Folks, we've got our eye right now on a committee hearing that's going on right now. This committee hearing is the House Committee on Homeland Security. We have DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, who's expected to testify during all of this. She has made her way there as well. And so we've got our eyes on this. We'll bring it to you when she starts speaking. She was just sworn in just a few moments ago. Obviously, this is going to be the opening remarks. There she is right there on your screen. Noem, probably going to be grilled on a lot of fronts, of course, by those on the left, asked questions that are not worthy of Noem's attention. But again, she's doing a good job. I think she's doing a great job. Oh, also, Joe Kent there as well, over at the National Intelligence Agency. He is present in all of this as well. So we'll bring it to you once we see that they're starting to speak, because we do think that will be important, of course. So we'll keep our eye on that. Again, folks, we're also taking your call in the next portion of the show. So if you'd like to give us a call, jump on air, tell us how you're feeling. Could you do just that? Give us a call right now, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We want to hear from you, of course. So call in right this very second. All right, folks, I also want to give you something to laugh about. Give you something to laugh about. Let's talk about Bernie Sanders for a bit. Bernie Sanders, obviously, not a very rational person. I would call him a commie, of course. But he's being asked questions regarding the U.S. Senate race in Texas. And this one's going to give you a good laugh because obviously he has no idea about Texas. He has no idea what the political climate is here. So he's asked about Jasmine Crockett running. Well, it's quite strange. It's quite strange. Take a listen to clip 13 and his response in regards to a Democrat possibly winning. This is how they're floating it. That seat. Take a listen.
Texas has been this kind of white whale for Democrats that you caucus with. Obviously, you rightly noted you're an independent. Do you think that Democrats could actually win a Senate seat there this time?
Don't get me going on Texas. Texas should be, in my view, one of the most progressive states in America. It's a working class state. It's a young state, a strong Latino population, strong black population. And how the Democratic leadership in Texas, and it's changed, by the way, it has changed, but the Democratic leadership previously in Texas was pathetic. I've been there several times, but I think things are changing, and I think they're getting their act together, and I think there's no reason why Texas should not be a progressive state.
Sure. Obviously, Bernie Sanders has not been to Texas in quite some time. Quite some time. Or maybe it's the dementia. Maybe it's contagious these days over at the left. Folks, we're watching right now as Kristi Noem just began speaking. I want to take you straight to that right now. Let's listen in.
You dearly love to illegal criminal activity, to people who never should have been in our country to begin with, and to lose those loved ones to drug overdoses that get perpetuated by the terrorist organizations that filter them into our country that President Trump works so hard to stop. So I'm grateful that they're here and that they are telling their story. Under President Biden, he closed the office in the Department of Homeland Security that serviced these families. He closed it because he didn't want them to speak. He didn't want them to have support or services. And President Trump reopened the Voices office so that they can get services so they can hear about the cases of the individuals who killed their family members, and they can get the kind of help that they need to get through the tragic grief that they've experienced. So I want to thank them for being here and continue to pray for them. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be in front of you today to discuss the wide range of threats that the Department of Homeland Security is working on to protect us from here at home and also around the world. Just 2 weeks ago, the day before Thanksgiving, a terrorist shot two of our National Guardsmen in Washington, D.C., killing Sarah Beckstrom dead, and Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf is still fighting for his life. Fortunately, we've had some really good news about Andrew recently, and he had the opportunity to stand up and is a miracle, and we're so grateful for his family for being so strong. We continue to lift him up and pray he has a full recovery. The terrorist who shot them was an Afghan national who entered the United States under Operation Allies Welcome. The same week, we arrested another Afghan national who came in under the same program. He was planning to carry out a bombing in Fort Worth, Texas. And just last week, just miles away in Washington, D.C., we arrested another Afghan national who also came in under Operation Allies Welcome. That individual provided support to the Islamic State of Iraq and ISIS-K and weapons to his father, who was a commander of a militia group in Afghanistan. Those are only a handful of the challenges that we face and the threats that the Department of Homeland Security stands against every single day. Under President Trump's leadership, DHS is securing our borders, we're restoring the rule of law, and we're protecting the homeland. DHS is eradicating transnational organized crime and the stopping of deadly drugs from continuing to be funneled into our communities. We're ending illegal immigration, returning sanity back to our immigration system, and we're defending against cyber attacks against our critical infrastructure. We have sent a strong message to criminal illegal aliens that we will find you, we will arrest you, and we will deport you. Our message has resonated to over 1.5 million illegal aliens who have gone home on their own voluntarily. At the same time, we as a country are still dealing with the mistakes, the errors, and the willful disregard of the last administration. For 4 years, the Biden administration allowed millions of people to come into our country illegally. Millions more in our country were exploited and were brought in under parole programs without even basic vetting. As a result, we've seen terrorist attacks and heinous crimes committed against American children and families by criminal, illegal aliens and violent perpetrators who should have never been allowed into this country in the first place. Transnational organized crime groups, including Mexico's Sinaloa, New Generation Jalisco, and other drug cartels, they cause chaos and they harm American interests. Our critical infrastructure faces a perilous landscape, largely driven by the impact of cyber attacks from bad actors and cyber criminals. American citizens are increasingly under threat from assassination attempts, intimidation tactics, and violence perpetuated by our adversaries, radical Islamic extremists and domestic extremists. These bad actors seek to undermine our public trust. They instill fear in Americans. They destabilize the institutions that safeguard our national security. The United States is preparing to host several major public events in 2026. Most notably the FIFA World Cup and the celebration of the 250th anniversary of our Declaration of Independence. These large-scale events will be potential targets for a range of bad actors, and they come with an increased level of risk. DHS is using every tool and authority we have to ensure the safety of U.S. citizens and our visitors can enjoy next year's events.
All right, I'm going to step radicalized in here because we're up against violence. The break, but folks, that's Kristi Noem speaking. We're going to keep popping in, popping out of that committee hearing because I'm sure we're going to learn a lot. Also present there is Joe Kent as well. So look forward to seeing if we hear any details regarding national intelligence. In the meantime, though, we're taking your calls 877-789-2539 in the next segment. So call in right now. And also while you're hanging with us, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. It's 40% off site wide. No promo code necessary. It's going on for a couple more hours. So now is the time to do just that. Stop what you're doing and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 40% off right now, the entire website, for a very limited time.
For me, with everything going on, the big takeaway is the world is in a fourth turning, a mega change. The globalists know that. Their plan is failing. And just because we're opposing them doesn't mean things aren't going to derail and get really, really nasty. It just means coming out of all these crises, we have a shot of building a civilization and having some civilization survive and then rebooting it and building something even better going into a new golden era. anyone in general not rooting for Trump and his economic plans is insane. And for the left, not distributed around the world, that want economic collapse, believing they're going to bring in their new socialist utopia or communist utopia on its ashes, in all the actuaries and all the futurist studies and all the Rand Corporation analysis and my own, and there's really nobody, including the establishment, that thinks you're going to get your New World Order, transhumanist, you know, communist, Great Reset now. That's what everyone's rebelling against. That's the old system that they were trying to push as the new system. But just because that's falling apart, again, doesn't mean that we're out of the woods. And I came across articles today talking about rich enclaves in the United States, and there's others around the world, where the ultra-rich don't want to be next to a big city. They don't want to be next to the glitz and glamour. There's mass exoduses to rural areas where they're building armored redoubts where you'll have 20 to 30 to 40 rich people, and I mean people building $40 million houses and bunkers, ahead of what's happening. And then there's even more ultra-rich that have all sorts of hidden facilities in the middle of nowhere. And the ultra-rich have giant fleets of yachts and flotillas where you get a lot of these Google billionaires will have a line of 6-7 ships, some that are just massive. And they own private islands in the South Pacific, but then they also know things are so dangerous that they're ready to flee there. So that acceleration of people running for the hills and building their bunkers has been going on for a long time, but it's just peaking and peaking and peaking is a big deal. So when you got signs like that, it gives you a little bit of an idea of what we're navigating here. Yeah, here he is this year warning of Terminator-style apocalypse. Oh, well. You can go back to 2005-06 where I did reports on that, but now this information is everywhere. And like I've said to Zuckerberg on air and in other ways, in the last few years, I said, you better come and join us. You better stop attacking us from behind. If you think you're going to be safe in that armored fortress you've built there in Kauai, think again. I'm not threatening you. I can tell you I love Kauai. I've been there many times. The last few times I went, I cannot go to a store, to the beach, anywhere, or go on a fishing trip without everybody telling me how they can't wait till things collapse to come get you. I mean, the villagers practically have their torches lit. Well, Zuckerberg's got escape yachts as well, and reportedly an escape submarine and underground deal. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The point is, guys, that's not going to protect you long-term if stuff collapses. What's going to protect you is getting out of what you're doing and helping turn civilization and society around, okay? And if you think during a total collapse at a few weeks or a few months into it that your security detail isn't going to turn on you, that's a whole other thing.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. We're taking your calls for us right now. We're also keeping our eye on that committee hearing I was just telling you about earlier in the program. The House is holding a Homeland Security Committee hearing publicly right now. So Joe Kent is speaking, and we just heard from Kristi Noem a few moments ago. We'll dive into this, though, when the question portion begins, because I have a feeling we might get some good ones in there. So we'll be waiting for just that. But let's kick off the calls right now with our very first caller up on the list. We got Clown Car calling in. Clown, welcome to the show.
Captain Clown Car reporting for duty, ma'am. And I'd like to bring up the first thing, that New York is in the sub-freezing weather, which I said would happen on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I also believe that that's due to the radiation fog that hit California, which is a fallout from 3AI Atlas shooting a hole into the sun. So it's not a comet. It's actually a Sumerian mothership. Excuse me, I might have had that wrong. A Dragonian mothership, which is coming back to Earth on the 19th of December, which is also going to be the day that we get this incredible snowstorm, which they're saying, I think, 17 trillion gallons of water are going to fall. Did you hear this?
I did not hear this, no.
In California, right after the radiation fog came through, it affected 11 million people, hospitalized hundreds of thousands of people, which nobody gave an explanation. I didn't see it on the mainstream news at all. But the radiation fog, I believe, is due to a solar flare that is coming off of this 3AI Atlas effect from the hole they put in the sun. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not hear about that.
I want to let you know one more thing that the clown knows. The clown knows that it's not just one space rock. There's actually one behind it 100 times bigger. What? 100 times bigger. That is the probe, Sumerian ship, excuse me, the mothership, that is following the father ship to our, I believe it's going to land in Brooklyn, actually. I have a good feeling it's going to land in Brooklyn. But the second ship is also right behind it. And also, I was a little curious. If NASA is so fake and it's phony and we can't really believe anything because of, you know, the Von guy from Germany taking over, who do we trust now? Trump was going to tell us day one what's going to happen with those the probes and the drones and all the stuff that we were seeing going on when he came out, when he wasn't president, and he said, I just want to give everybody not to worry. The government knows what it is. So if the government knew what it was, now he's the government. Can't he tell us what it is?
He should. He should.
I think he should, considering the fact that it scared the hell out of everybody. Those things were coming so low and spraying stuff over us in Brooklyn. I have video of that. You know, at some point, you just got to put your hands up and say, ah, sarah, sarah, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what we're saying here. Clown Car, I love to hear all these updates, of course, from you on this front, because, again, I try to keep my eyes open to everything. So thank you for the update regarding all of that. Good luck in New York. You know, maybe you won't do it, though. I think you turned me down last time. I told you maybe move a little south, like every good New Yorker does these days, to Florida. At least be a snowbird. But you're loyal to the cause, though. You're not going anywhere time soon. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, my friend. Well, we look forward to the very next update. So thank you, of course, for calling in. As always, let's take our very next caller, Savage Dog, over in Georgia. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, ma'am. How are you doing today?
Doing good, doing good. I hear you want to talk about Venezuela right now, which is funny because as I was talking about the story, I had a feeling you'd call in about this.
Well, first, I wish you'd ask Clown Car where he got that information from, because I'm all about the research. I got a PhD at YouTube University, so I'm well-versed in going down rabbit holes. But
oh, man, that's one rabbit hole I haven't dived into yet.
Well, yeah, I have a little bit. I just want to know where he got the fact that, well, okay, I'll take it as fact from him that there was some kind of weird radiation cloud over California and it hurt a lot of people. That's plausible. I just want to know where his sources are so I can look at it myself. But anyway, so wake up. And yeah, we went ahead and we boarded a Venezuelan oil tanker. Mm-hmm. And apparently Trump said, well, I guess we get the oil now. I think it's funny the timing that this happened right after we started storming Minnesota for all their Somali pirates. I mean, refugees. And tell me how this is not piracy. I don't understand how we have the authority. I understand the drug boats, you know, they're shipping in basically chemical weapons, you know, with the fentanyl and everything. Mm-hmm. But why do we have the right? I mean, I you know, it's a little fuzzy with the declaration of war. You know, president has 60 days and then Congress has to do something. But what authority happened there with that? That's my question.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're probably going off of sanctions. I'm sure they have some type of sanctions on both Venezuelan and Iranian oil being exchanged. So something probably there, maybe.
I don't know. I'm sure the left's going to just re and scream all about this, and we'll find out, you know, their side from them, and, you know, try to get whatever truth they accidentally throw out there, like Jake Tapper asking the next senator of the great state of Texas, Jasmine Crockett. You know, with these affected, or what'd he say? He had to stop himself about immigration, these tough immigration rules or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, I thought that was funny. He had to catch himself. He almost said truth there. Anyway, that was my question. You know, how do we have the authority to confiscate an oil tanker from any country?
And the really strange part, Savage Dog, maybe you know it, the FBI was also involved in this. I don't know what authority the FBI would have in that, right?
I mean, well, with an embargo, you turn them around or you blow them out in the water. Like with Cuba, right, back in the 60s. But this wasn't an embargo. This was a boarding and capture and confiscation. That's piracy.
Mm-hmm.
That's definition of piracy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm – you know where my politics go. But I'm American first, you know, constitutionalist.
Mm-hmm.
I swore that sacred oath in the Marine Corps. And so, you know, and I'm not in the cult. So if Trump does something wrong, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he has this authority. Correct me. Tell me where I'm wrong. Change my mind. I don't know.
No, I'm with you on this. I didn't know either. When I saw the story, I feel like this is rapidly accelerating. This whole U.S. Venezuelan, and no one, I think, has stopped and pumped the brakes for a second and explained to us why this is a top priority, specifically Venezuela. Again, the opposition leader, too, she was actually just here yesterday in the United States as well. Machado is her last name, and she was meeting with members of Congress. Again, I don't know why, you know, this president claims he's not for regime change. Obviously, seizing the oil tanker is definitely trying to create some pressure. So
they've got evidence. I mean, you got that high-level spy whistleblower saying, I'll tell you how Venezuela stole 2020. And then Trump the other day or yesterday or whenever said, I've got evidence. I'll be telling you in 2 months. Well, I guess that's better than 2 weeks. You know, it's at least it's different getting the non-evidence. But maybe this time we'll see. But, you know, you got that high-level spy from Venezuela saying, I got the goods.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a good reason, you know, not just being a communist country, you know, slinging fentanyl our way. Well, Mexico is, too, and China. So
yeah.
I don't know. That probably is a large part of it that we weren't maybe not supposed to know about. And it got leaked that he's big whistleblowers coming out about how, you know, Smartmatic or not Dominion. I think it was Smartmatic that
Yeah, I'm looking for the story right now to find out what specifically the allegations are. I cannot find the election one, though. But it's probably going to take digging because I don't think any media outlet talks about election, claiming election machines, machines. They all say a company.
It was on InfoWars, I'm pretty sure.
Let me look. Yeah, I just found it quickly on this one website that they don't say a company name. They just say the voting machines, the voting systems, specifically the electronic ones, what they're referring to here. I will go to our website, though, and I will look for just that, as I'm trying to do it on the fly, of course. But, yeah, I mean, nothing really surprises me, though. Nothing really surprises. That'd be also like a Sidney Powell question as well.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out or we won't. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come. In the meantime, I'm just trying to do my best. Walk to the light.
Well, you're doing a great job, my friend. Thank you for calling in. As always, we appreciate your time. And thank you for bringing this to my attention as well. Bart in Georgia, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, I should say. How's everything going for you, my friend?
Great. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to plug methylene blue. According to Alex Jones and studies, rats that were given methylene blue live twice as long. So I should live a long life here. Anyway, I want to talk about a top national security risk of illegal truck drivers and illegal drivers of regular vehicles. And the solution to this is having Border Patrol and ICE checkpoints, like rolling checkpoints nationwide, but concentrating first in Washington, California, New Mexico, have them all over the place and to scare them off the road. Thank you for taking my call again.
No, you're onto something. You are onto something. I want them to do that. I mean, we got to start doing that. They already have the names, though. I'm sure they weren't given probably the correct addresses on a lot of these individuals, but, you know, I'm sure they're using it too I'm lying to you because in New York, they actually are blocking the federal government from going out and being able to look at their illegal aliens that they've given these licenses out to. So they can't use New York I believe it's an ongoing lawsuit right now. It's the Green Light Law, I believe, and DOJ is currently suing over it. But, yeah, they blocked out a lot of the federal agencies from being able to look at that, so that doesn't even work. Yeah, you're right. Just start pulling people over. So thank you, Bart. I appreciate you calling in, as always, and waiting on hold. Thank you very much for that. Vanessa, how are you, Vanessa? Welcome to the show. I'll wake up eventually.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I'm a first-time caller, and I just want to say I'm a retired nurse, but it was by force because after I read the Pfizer data dump, I wouldn't get the booster. And I've felt bad ever since I took the two-step. But you know what? This Ultra DNA Revival and the Ultimate Life Force, I'm feeling a whole lot better. And I want my sister nurses to know, you know, that maybe that could be some help for them too.
I love that. No, that's great. And thank you for doing that. You know, folks, if I keep hearing great stories and great comments about that. And it's 40% off right now over at the shop. It's a great time to try it out if you haven't done so already. So I'd highly recommend you do just that over at thealexjonesstore.com. I hear also you'd like to talk about being more maybe optimistic about President Trump. So what's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, of course. Indiana is in the middle of kind of what Texas was doing. Indiana, my home state. I'm in Florida now, but many relatives in Indiana, they need to redistrict. And if you look at mainstream media, everybody's saying, no, don't. Yes, do it. The Democrats gerrymandered for years. And of course, Indiana needs to redistrict because, you know what, they're saying Trump's a bully and making the state senators do it. No, it just needs to be done. I'm sorry. It's the truth.
Yeah. No, I think it does need to be done. And I'm on board for it as well. I think... You know, when they've counted all of those illegals into the census, obviously that was intentional. But again, it's about time.
Yeah, my sister lives in southern Indiana, and she's like running into them all the time. But I think we've got a pretty good governor up there right now, and he's on board. Mm-hmm. But the legislatures need to get on board in Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. Thank you for calling in. Of course, we appreciate your insights on just that. And thank you for plugging the products over at thealexjonesstore.com as well. We appreciate that. Folks, if you haven't done so already and you want to join the show, we'll continue calls into the next hour as well. So 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I'm also keeping our eyes on that House Homeland Security Committee hearing that's going on right now. When they start asking questions, we'll start popping in and out. It looks like, though, that we haven't really gotten to a good point. Obviously, this is Benny Thompson. So we'll keep our eye on this when he starts grilling Christine Noem, because I'm sure there's a lot there as well. All right, let's go to our very next caller, Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
What's on your mind?
And part of the thing is when you go on hold, you hear other people say different things. You just want to give a brief comment on them. I think it was Savage Dog talked about the swarm of drones and so forth. There was 11 bus-sized drones. Bus-sized drones. It flew all over, like, the New Jersey area for, like, a couple of months and so forth, right?
Last year, right? A year ago. But it was Biden in the White House?
Yeah. It was about a year ago, you know, and just, you know, what are you going to do? Nobody knows nothing about nothing, right?
Well, remember that Cybertruck explosion on New Year's Day that happened, and he was alluding to the drones in his email that he sent out before he took his life, that veteran who killed himself outside the Trump Hotel. Well, it was also related to the drones, and then quickly that story went away. And so did the drones as well, in case you're wondering.
I strayed off path here. And then the other thing related to clown car. Hey, clown car, honk, honk. He talks about the cloud that came over California. How about Three Mile Island? Back in March of 1979. And hey, folks, just for advance warning, I know it's been 40-something years, but Bill Gates recently bought all the rights to fire that sucker back up again, and he's going to fire it up again, and all the benefit comes to one of his data centers. You know, one of those, you know, but all of us are going to take the risk, but he's going to get all the benefit. He already bought like one of the two towers of energy that's going to come out of there. Oh, well, I got distracted. Let me tell you what I really called about. I saw this morning and my heart sank because, you know, you got this co-founder and CEO of ARMR. I guess that's Armor Sciences, Colin Gage. And he's talking about, hey, man, I got this vaccine that has a 92 to 98% effective rate in rats. So we're going to go ahead and roll it out. And what it is this vaccine will block fentanyl from reaching your brain. And later you find out it also would keep you from having any respiratory failure episode. And then you think, oh, it's going to be like the kind of thing where you come and rescue a guy and a student. You know, make him inhale it. No. This can be a vaccine that everyone takes before. And then you think, well, why would we need that? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because they're catching earth loader value. I mean, you know, multiple tons of this stuff at a time. And they already know, like, a grain of salt will kill you, you know. So maybe they know that the next thing coming is, you know, I don't even want to give anyone any ideas. I'm just trying to say, maybe they already know some of these school-sized bus things or whatever can just come over like they did in the 1970s movies, just fly over a stadium and just spray everyone down and just get everyone all at once kind of thing. And I was thinking, wow, maybe the only way they can combat that is we'll all have to take a vaccine against fentanyl.
You know, while you're talking, I actually did go to the website, the Armor Science website. Just so you know, folks, it is actually backed by the Pentagon. And so they are working actively to protect against bioweapons. The first one.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Fentanyl. Yeah. Yeah.
It's to save us all. We all need a vaccine to be saved.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that something?
I was just telling you, because otherwise a grain of it will get you, and they're finding earth loaders full at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, here I'm
you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Take the vaccine.
Yeah. No, that's pretty scary. And I'm looking, too, at this company, Backhand. I mean, they're doing all these hits on Fox and stuff. Wow, this is crazy. It's like, this is a good one to put on our radar, for sure, or put on my radar, I should say, because I did not, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm like the anti-vaxxer these days, but man, oh man, this is how you know things are getting really, really bad when they think and they're comfortable with just this. It looks like too, their trials had just recently begun, on this. And so that's the reason why they're starting to push this out, of course. But yeah, they just recently launched their first human trials of the jab, of this fentanyl saving jab, it looks like. And, this happened this month when they made the announcement. The New York biotech company is testing with experimental shots that can neutralize the deadly opioid in bloodstreams, potentially offering a year-long protection. Oh, just a year-long, by the way.
Yeah.
You'll need a booster. Populations.
You'll need a booster.
How convenient. How convenient. Yeah, I mean, obviously the fentanyl crisis is a major one, but it's one that is a human-made crisis. And then, of course, there's always something to fix it with, so... get ready to roll up those sleeves. Not us, though, of course, but get ready to roll up those sleeves. Make sure you get your fentanyl vaccine. I mean, this is insane. If I didn't see this with my own eyes, I would think that this is a conspiracy, of course, but here it is right in front of us, and they're not even hiding it. So, Tim, thank you for putting this on my radar. I got a lot of digging to do. Maybe I'll actually ask the CEO of the company to come on the show. I'll shoot him an email. I'd like to learn more about this, specifically why. Why are we doing this? And now that I have access to the Pentagon, I'll also throw a question their way in regards to this, because this is a Pentagon-backed company, according to their website. So I'll do some digging. Thanks for putting it on my radar, Tim. I appreciate it, as always. All right, let's turn to Denise in Jacksonville. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm like the other guy. I hear everybody talking. It just reminds me of other things. Yeah. But the first thing I called about was, President Trump made a post on Truth Social this morning about the blue slip and how they're making it impossible to get great Republican judges and U.S. attorneys approved to serve in any state where there's a single Democrat senator. And Chuck Grassley is the one that's in the way, and he is actually a Republican. I guess maybe in name only. I don't know. He's done a lot of good things. So Trump says that he's going to ask the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune, to get something done. Don't got much hope for him either. But it's just all of our people, the Republicans that should be helping Trump are not helping him. I hope everybody in every state that has one of these congressmen or senators in their state, that they'll elect somebody else to those positions. I think that's really the best way to get things done, is to get fresh blood in there. You know, talking about the vaccines that y'all were just talking about, our primary care doctor we went to for 15 years when all that hit in 2022, he told us we really needed to get the vaccine and all this other stuff, me and my husband, but we chose not to. We never did. Well, about a month or so ago, we went to him, and he looked like he wasn't feeling good. And I asked him, I said, how have you been doing? He goes, well, I had COVID not too long ago. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I laid in my living room floor for a couple of weeks and felt like I was going to die. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh. And I looked at him, and I said, did you take the vaccine? He said, nope. I'm sitting there, I'm like, wait a minute. You told us to take it, but you didn't take it? Another doctor I went to that's a hormone specialist recently, he told us, don't take any vaccines. He said, you don't need them. He's also a compound pharmacist.
Yeah.
And, he has a lot of training in a lot of different areas. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's like the Republicans. They want to do this and they want to do that, but they're not willing to do what they want you to do. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I mean, this was the cause that is near and dear to my heart. It's the reason why I left the corporate media, because I knew that they were all full of garbage, too. And behind the scenes, they were all filing for exemption, so they didn't have to take the jab either. But, of course, they were pushing it onto the audience. And so I know this very, very well, of course. Thank you for calling in on that front, too. I'm also kind of fired up. And I keep calling out President Trump on this one, how he will aggressively go after people like MTG, but he won't go aggressively against these senators who have refused to give him his blessing, their blessing in regards to his picks. And I think that's something that needed to happen. So I'm excited to see that he is officially jumping on board with that and put up that Truth Social post as well. So thank you for calling him. We appreciate it. As always, if you're on hold right now, folks, stay put. We're going to hit a quick commercial break. We'll go right back to the calls, of course. So don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, the one place I'll let you go is over at the alexjonesstore.com right now, because it's 40% off site-wide. All of your favorite items on sale right now. 40% off, no promo code necessary. You have your ultimate sea moss gummies as well. 40% off. And those brand new creatine gummies that I can't shut up about. The blue raspberry flavor one, my favorite, also on sale right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. Don't go anywhere. Money.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, InfoWarriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
Christmas with Alex and crew, a cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree, everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph and more, give a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with depression, methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchest, lived the grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout. The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop. To be continued.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
With us, getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program, and we're taking your calls. So if you're on hold, stay put, don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more calls to dive into, but we're also keeping our eye as well on that House Homeland Security Committee hearing that's going on right now. We're waiting for, Kristi Noem. She's probably going to get grilled by the lefties when we start seeing that happening. That will bring you straight to it, of course. I'll also be speaking with Liz Harrington in this hour as well. Liz Harrington is a former Trump spokeswoman, and she's going to be joining us to discuss all things related to election fraud as well as the DOJ. There's a lot of issues with the DOJ right now, specifically the lack of action. So I've got a lot of questions to ask her on that front. So is the president going to possibly replace Pam Bondi? Well, the rest of us hope at this point, because the AG really isn't doing much on that front. But we'll get her take on a lot of those different topics, of course, and that will be in just a bit when Liz Harrington joins us later in the program. But again, like I mentioned, we got our eyes right now on that committee hearing. It looks like they're showing some footage of an interaction between DHS officers as well as an individual who may have been apprehended. Again, we were dropping in and out of this. They did just show the video, but I'm waiting to see who he's asking this question to. We will bring that to you once it begins, of course. Let's see. He hasn't shut up yet. All right, so I'll bring it to you when it starts to get interesting, because I just hate to bring you something when there's nothing there, of course. We'll be diving into your calls in just a bit. Do not hang up if you are on hold. We'll get back to the calls in about 4 minutes. That's 4 minutes. So don't go anywhere if you're on hold right now. In the meantime, though, let me just catch you up on a couple of other stories that have been going on. Harmeet Dhillon, obviously out there now trying her very best to fix the DOJ's civil division. She's been trying. We're going to play clip 15 for you, because Harmeet Dhillon is calling out the fact that a lot of these DOJ officials who were there, these lefties, were not happy when Dhillon took over at the Civil Rights Division. Take a listen to clip 15.
We're going to be changing our priorities in each of your sections, and we're going to take the lead from the White House and the president's executive orders. And so we're still going to enforce all of these laws, but through a different lens than what you've been doing. So please put your pencils down. Make sure that the work that you're doing is consistent with this direction. And if it isn't, we're going to need to change it. And you may recall that at the same time, the DOJ folks working with OMB had offered severance packages to government officials who perhaps wanted to use this opportunity to go do something else with their lives. So in the case of DOJ folks, they were offered 5-month packages, just, for your average lawyer with some tenure there. It's a 6-figure lump sum. So more than half the lawyers in the Civil Rights Division reacted to these memos by quitting.
Right.
And
that was what, about 400 of them?
Well, there were over 400 lawyers, so more than 200 quit.
Right.
And then since that time, another close to 100 have quit. I mean, it's like not quite 75%, but maybe approaching 70% have quit. And they did it in phases, and I think there was some denial, and, they had crying sessions together, and they had,
because you asked them to obey the law and just follow what the democratically elected president's priorities were.
And frankly, it was shocking to them. They had unhappy hours, things right. like that. It was like a lot of drama and hand wringing, and they have a support group outside and a spokesperson who constantly goes on MSNBC and trashes me.
They have a spokesperson. I mean, these people are insane, these lefties. It's good to see they're getting purged and they're self-deporting from the DOJ, the Civil Rights Division. As many of you guys know, it was just infiltrated, infested, some would say, with these left-wing hacks, obviously not doing the will of the American people. Looks like Harmy Dillon has her work cut out for her, though, of course. So it's good to hear on that front. But, folks, we need more conservative attorneys. There needs to be a fund that we just help send conservatives to law school and just cough up the cash, because there's more lefties out there in the legal world than there are conservatives. And I think that's a massive, massive issue in regards to those who are going to be obviously defending our Constitution. Maybe something to look into. Anyone out there who's willing to pay some steep bills for law school, give me a call. Maybe I'll go to law school. I'd love to fight the government, of course. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 40% off site-wide going on now for a couple more hours. So you got to head on over right now. And we're taking your calls in just a few moments. So if you're on hold, don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a bit.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off the third hour of the show, keeping our eye on that House Homeland Security Committee hearing. We're waiting to see if they start grilling Kristi Noem. She's also joined by Joe Kent sitting next to her as well, so we're keeping our eye on that. But we are taking your calls. I see we have a couple more people still on the lines, and I'm not going to hang up on you anytime soon. So let's try to catch up on that. Folks, if you haven't done so already and you want to call into the show, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. All right, Bill in New York, what is on your mind?
Hey, Brianna.
Hi, Bill.
Have you heard about the Netflix trying to buy out Warner Brothers Discovery Channel?
I did hear about that, and that had me very nervous.
Yeah, so I heard President Trump make a comment on a news brief a couple days ago saying I may have to get involved in that, and that kind of piqued my interest, so I looked a little bit deeper. And this is really interesting, and I figured I'd mention it for you to put it on your radar. But there's a counteroffer, a higher bid, being made by Paramount. But their offer is different because they're offering to buy not just Warner Brothers Discovery, but also CNN included. And it turns out that the company that is financing that higher bid by Paramount is a company called Affinity Partners, and guess who's an owner of that? Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law. I figured, that's kind of digs into a level that you don't typically. You just hear the headlines. Oh, Netflix is trying, and I'm not a Netflix fan. They're woke.
Yeah,
but Netflix is trying to buy Discovery, Warner Brothers Discovery Channel. But then there's this counteroffer with a higher bid by Paramount that is being financed by Affinity Partners and Jared Kushner, and it includes CNN. So if they pull that off, then CNN gets bought out. So I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's been like an ongoing war between all like three of these companies trying to figure out what's going to go there. I did also reach out too in regards to if the antitrust division over at the DOJ intends on stepping in on this, and I have not heard back. But I was hoping to hear something back. Cause, I mean, obviously, I think this announcement with Paramount was announced last week. And I was waiting to hear back on that front because I figured antitrust will probably step in on this too. It's all concerning. I mean, there's many angles to it, right? Because Netflix purchasing up these filmmakers, I mean, this is a big one. I mean, obviously, we all see what they do. They do their own films. And then you have this angle.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Thanks
Bill,
for your time, yeah.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding for us. We appreciate it. And we appreciate you putting this story. I probably should have had this in the rundown for today because, yes, this is a very important one, too. And I did reach out to the antitrust division, so I'm going to try my best to keep mentioning this because this is really, really important, of course. And this is one that is worth your attention. All right, let's turn to Jordan in New Jersey. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
So being here in New Jersey, I know we just talked about these drones. I was I'm about five to 10 miles from Picatinny Arsenal where a lot of this drone activity took place in northern New Jersey. And I witnessed one of these drones flying overhead. It was definitely bus size. It was being chased by a New Jersey State Trooper helicopter over my house, very low. So, I mean, it was a thing. It did take place. It wasn't a hoax or hysteria or what have you. So it is an unanswered thing. But there's activities around some of these older military bases that people should be aware of, including, you know, all kinds of flights and different launches and things like that. And I just want to draw everybody's attention to ICANN's, you know, Dale Bigtree and ICANN's investigation into geoengineering and military spraying. There's a great thing on Rumble called U.S. military planes spraying self-spreading vaccines and chemicals over populated areas. And they have an attorney at Siri Glimstead, a nice woman who I've contacted to share my evidence from what I was able to witness at Picatinny, who's now filing FOIA requests, and got a bunch of information about various older military bases that have been repurposed to handle these special missions that are, you know, obviously been documented to some extent. So I just want to draw everybody's attention to that. Now, I called based upon, you know, I'm an attorney. I've called in the past. I've been on Alex's show in February. And I warned everybody that the Congress needs to act here. And I had earlier callers talk about this, about Grassley standing in the way and all these people. But with everybody pushing, oh, the release of Epstein files and all this other stuff, the real important stuff is being missed. So these legislators aren't being tasked properly by the voters to deal with the real issues that are causing them problems. So the failure of Helena Haba and Halligan to be placed in those particular areas is an extraordinary risk. And Trump flew into a tirade the other day about it on a hot mic, and he has every reason to do that. This is a very serious issue because you have people like Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, and other people like that in blue states running the show. And you will never have honest elections or be able to reduce Democrat corruption in these states until federal prosecutors are properly appointed. End of story. And the Congress is the one that needs to act because this entire system basically is mandated by Congress under Article 3, which I talked to Alex about in February. So people need to have this on their legislative card or call to action. So they get distracted by these salacious things like the Epstein files and other things instead of the juicy meat on the bone thing, which is there's enormous corruption throughout the country. I've been witnessed it. I've taken cases here, and there's prosecutors, local DAs, you name it, attorney generals that are running wild. And there's no federal prosecutors or taking any big cases to go after these people. The last big case in New Jersey, Chris Christie put forth and took out a bunch of really corrupt cities like Paterson, New Jersey, right? Took the entire – and that was like 30 years ago. So we have Soros people, other operatives that are running rampant in the local – in the locales. And until they do something and get these people in to go clean house, we're in serious trouble. So I just wanted to alert everybody to that.
Yeah.
And that Haba not being appointed means that the criminals that I've witnessed in this state, okay, personally, I have all kinds of case studies and stuff I could share, but we don't have time here today. they're running wild and committing crimes. You get people with badges and official titles committing crimes, okay, literally, federal crimes, okay? So pattern and practice crimes, and no one's doing anything about it. This is a very serious issue, and if those people don't get appointed, people don't understand how dangerous this is to our country. So I just wanted to alert everybody. As far as some of the comments on this Venezuela incursion, the president does have war powers, right? That were conferred. They're temporary, right? He can go in and do something. He's trying to smoke Maduro out and do it in this manner because, in my opinion, the actions of the seditious six have shown that there are elements inside the military that may not act should Congress pass something or a judge say something or what have you. So he's uncertain about launching a full-scale military operation, obviously, and the CIA also has a lot to do with it. And there's no mistake that Plotkin's part of that whole unit. Now, I called Harrison Smith and did a data dump on Albright Stonebridge's involvement in this, which is under Denton's, which is a creation of Madden Albright and Sandy Berger. Okay, all the seditious six people were paid substantial sums to their campaigns by this group, which is the one thing that ties them all together, by the way. And so that and the Institute of Peace, they were running USAID money into Venezuela to set up basically illegal operations, the voting infrastructure, and probably a money laundering scheme, right? So people have to be aware of this and understand that, you know, Trump's uncertain, and you're going to see a lot of kind of back and forth on that, in my opinion, based on my research. Okay. So I just wanted to share some of that with you. I want to thank you for your time. And I want to say you're doing a wonderful job, and I wish you all the best.
Well, Jordan, we appreciate you calling in. Stay on hold for that. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I know your first portion of it was about Elena Haba, and she was very dedicated to going after the criminals in New Jersey and trying to purge them out. And we saw how that all worked out. So, yeah, it's infuriating to sit back and watch. But, Jordan, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your insight on all these issues as well. Let's turn to Jefferson in Virginia because I see we want to keep it on the Venezuelan angle. Welcome to the show, Jefferson.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Jordan Paul is very informative. The seizure of the oil tanker is more like freezing a bank account than piracy. Mm-hmm. It's more of an economic thing. If you offload the cargo and then use it for your own devices, then it's piracy. But if you just take the boat and make it like a storage unit and keep the oil on it, you're just freezing their asset.
Yeah. Did Trump say he was going to take it? I guess it depends how you say take it, right? Because I think the quote was that he was going to take it.
They're just going to hold it. I don't think they're going to offload it and try to refine the sour crude or do anything like that.
I could ask. Yeah. Now that we have access to the Pentagon, I could ask the Pentagon also. We could pitch that over to the White House to see exactly what he meant by take it. That means take it, obviously, unloading and taking what's in it. And that's one thing. So I'll get some clarification. I'll try to at least.
Yeah. Clown car and the 3i Atlas thing is kind of off the charts. I don't believe that's the cause of the sunspot and the radiation and all that radiation cloud issue that he was bringing up. I'm not sure what the 3i Atlas concern is. It's supposed to go behind the sun and then come back out the other side, and now we have some bigger rock behind it that nobody's seen. I don't know what kind of distraction we're in mode there, but we got bigger fish to fry than worrying about some sort of alien invasion.
Yeah, you know, I don't know much about the topic, so I just let people kind of take it away as to what they've uncovered, what they believe. I'm just too busy trying to yell at the DOJ and the FBI about all the corruption that they're not doing anything about these days. It keeps me kind of busy these days. So, yeah.
Can somebody find out what Andrew Bailey is actually doing?
Well, I told you. I did report this. I did report that I was told by two people in his office that he was, when he left as Missouri AG and he was, you know, shifted over obviously to the FBI, that he left under the thought that he was going to be potentially running the AG's office in a couple of months. His timeline specifically said 6 months. So I think we're probably maybe 3 months into that by now at least. So hopefully we hear back on that soon. But again, his mind was set at being the U.S. Attorney General. So my thought is that he probably is reading up on a lot of these cases, and if Pam Bondi doesn't file charges, that President Trump's going to make a switch. There's also reports that there's going to be a switch after New Year's, so we'll kind of see how that plays out. But that's the latest that I've heard on that front, Jefferson, just to kind of give you that breakdown as well. Folks, I kind of want to jump in right now because there's a bit of an exchange, and I hope we didn't miss it, over the House Homeland Security Committee hearing going on right now. Let's take a listen real quick.
We are joined on Zoom by a gentleman named Sejun Park. He is a United States Army combat veteran who was shot twice while serving our country in Panama in 1989. Like many veterans, he struggled with PTSD and substance abuse after his service. He was arrested in the 1990s for some minor drug offenses, nothing serious. He never hurt anyone besides himself, and he's been clean and sober for 14 years. He is a combat veteran, a Purple Heart recipient. He has sacrificed more for this country than most people ever have. Earlier this year, you deported him to Korea, a country he hasn't lived in since he was 7 years old. Will you join me in thanking Mr. Park for his service to our country?
Sir, I'm grateful for every single person that has served our country and follows
and
our laws.
Can you please tell Mr. Park why you deported him?
Every one of them needs to be enforced.
But you understand that many veterans struggle with PTSD. Many veterans struggle with substance abuse challenges. This man took two bullets for our country. Will you? You have broad authority, by the way, as secretary, to issue humanitarian parole, to do deferred action. Will you commit to at least looking at Mr. Park's case to see if you can help him find a pathway back to this country that he sacrificed so much for?
I will absolutely look at his case, but I want you remember
that Madam Secretary, the man behind you, please stand up, sir. His name is Jim Brown from Troy, Missouri. He is a Navy combat veteran who served our country in the Gulf War. He's married to a woman named Donna, who came to our country legally from Ireland when she was 11 years old. She has lived here for 48 years. Because of you, Jim's wife, Donna, has been in prison for the last 4 months. She did not come here illegally, and she has never committed any crime other than writing two bad checks totaling $80 10 years ago. She is currently in prison and facing deportation. Ms. Noem, will you thank Mr. Brown for his service to our country?
Thank you, Mr. Brown, for your service to our country.
Now, what possible explanation can there be for locking up his wife for 4 months when she has committed no crime other than writing a couple of bad checks for $80.
Sir, it is not my prerogative, my latitude, or my job to pick and choose which laws in this country get enforced.
You have broad discretion as the secretary. You can
follow.
You can issue parole. You can do all kinds of things, but you're choosing not to. Will you commit again to just reviewing Donna's case and reuniting this combat veteran with his beloved wife who also loves this country?
I will review the case.
Now, Madam Secretary, you've already heard the story of Lance Corporal Alejandro Barranco, the United States Marine veteran who is behind you, who also has two brothers who are United States Marines. Will you thank Lance Corporal Barranco for his service?
Thank you for your service.
His father, Narcisco Barranco, is a landscaper in California who has lived peacefully in our country for 30 years and has no criminal record. Last spring, while he was mowing the lawn at an IHOP, ICE agents tackled him in the street and imprisoned him for weeks. A peaceful, hard-working man who raised three sons to be United States Marines. We need men of that character in this country. Again, as secretary, you have broad discretion. Will you consider Lance Corporal Barranco's father for parole in place to stay in our country, owing to the fact that he has contributed to our country by raising three United States Marines?
This is an opportunity to remind everybody that every person that's in this country illegally has an opportunity to voluntarily go home and come back the right way.
Three United States Marines. He has been living here peacefully, doing his job for 30 years. You have discretion. You are choosing not to use it.
All right, let's step on this, because obviously this was supposed to be a PR setup. Chrissy Noem reminding Congressman Seth Magaziner, is how you're going to get that? I don't even know. This is a Democrat, obviously, and he's trying his very best to land a punch here. It's not sticking, though. Obviously, Noem just totally tossing that out. He comes from Rhode Island. Never heard of this guy before in my life. So keep that in mind. But again, trying his best to turn this into some type of gotcha moment, and Noem doing her very best to push back on this. Listen, it's very easy. If you're a law-abiding American citizen, yes, you're fine. You will not be deported. But of course, they always have to find these scenarios where they drum up the empathy. And they're obviously not delivering the 100% truth, of course, to these stories. I'm sure if you did more digging on that, you'd find out that that's the case. Let's start going back to callers. Let's turn to Doug in Ohio. Doug, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I first wanted to say that Alex needs to shut up. And what I mean by that is that when someone's on like General Flynn, I really want to hear what he has to say. I've been listening to Alex since 1995 when Art Bell told his audience about Alex, and I've been listening ever since. So that's the first thing. Please let the person who he's interviewing speak, because we're not on the cell phone call when they're talking to each other off camera. Secondly, I wanted to ask, next time you're at the Pentagon, if you could see if there's an update on the drones. And third, and the reason why I actually called, is I wanted to do some plugs. I bought a T-shirt. I'm a truck driver. I bought a T-shirt in 2019 that says the media is the virus and InfoWars is the cure. And when I wear that out when I'm at work, whatever state I'm in, I get stopped and say, hey, can I take a picture with you? And then I tell them about the website. And then also methylene blue. So I tried methylene blue, and instantly I bought a 9-month supply after that. I bought the Optimal Human Super Greens. I bought a 4-month supply of that. I bought Power Plant Plus, Methyl Drive, and Nitric Boost. And when I started all of this, I was 260 pounds, and I'm now down to 200 pounds exactly. And my testosterone when I started was 350. I was a low T, overweight, useless, straight Christian male. And my testosterone 2 weeks ago tested at 1,004. So these products really work. And when you hear someone say, you know, the methylene blue is energy, but it's not like coffee. I was yelling at my radio, my TV or my phone going, what do you mean by that? What does that mean? Is it like a drug? Like, is it crack? Like, what are you talking? Listen, folks, whoever's on the fence about trying methylene blue, if you're 30 years or older, it's like waking up in your 20s. And the best way I can tell you how to experience this is buy a bottle of the methylene blue, get absolutely drunk the night before, and wake up with a hangover. Take the methylene blue, and you'll understand what everybody is talking about. It's like you woke up in your 20s. I'm getting the chills just talking about it. I bought a 9-month supply of methylene blue because of how well it works. I can't tell you how good these products are. You guys don't pay me to say this. I've been sitting on hold for half an hour. Just, I couldn't wait to say this. You know what I mean? And the T-shirt itself is such high quality. I bought it in 2019. There's no holes. It doesn't fade. I sweat and I wipe my head on my shoulders. And you don't get that orange, reddish, you know, fading on the T-shirt from sweat. The print is still there. It hasn't faded away. The T-shirt is, you know, somewhat thick. It's actually good quality. And I get stopped, and people literally, strangers, want to take a picture with me when I wear the T-shirt. So everything is really good quality, and I can't express the gratitude I have for you guys over there and producing these kind of products. And shout out to the late Art Bell for turning me on to Alex Jones in 1995. So thank you very much. These products really, really work.
Well, we appreciate you calling in about the products and much, much more, of course. We are thankful for that. So thank you, Doug, for staying on hold. I know it's been a while, so we appreciate you for that. Okay, folks, I want to remind you all again, as you heard, to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because everyone's bragging about the items we have there right now, and they're 40% off. That sale is only going to last for a couple more hours, so you got to head on over right now, this very second, to thealexjonesstore.com. We're selling out of a lot of your incredible items. They're still fully in stock, but they're going to sell out soon if you don't get it now. The sea moss gummies are something that one of my friends keeps texting me about. She loves her sea moss gummies as well. And as many of you guys know, I can't shut up about the creatine gummies, the blue raspberry flavored ones, I should say. Those are absolutely incredible. We just launched those over at thealexjonesstore.com. 40% off the entire site. And it's great to get, you know, Christmas gifts. Get them shipped directly to your door so you don't have to deal with the retailers. Plus, when you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you're helping keep us on air. and we greatly appreciate your support, and it helps fund our next project. So we greatly appreciate it. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and do your Christmas shopping with us. All right, folks, more going on. I'm keeping my eye, obviously, on that hearing I've been talking about. We've been jumping in and out of right now. We'll get back to that in a moment. Liz Harrington will be joining us, the spokeswoman for President Trump, the former spokeswoman for President Trump, will be joining us in a second.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. When I asked Grok about the benefits of creatine, this is what Grok said at the end. Bottom line, creatine is one of the few supplements that consistently lives up to the hype for strength, power, muscle growth, brain function. If you lift weights or do any explosive sport, it's basically a no-brainer. But speaking of no-brainer, when you really study creatine, it's what it does for the brain and everything else in the body. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Now, you can front load with 20 milligrams for a week or so is what the experts and doctors and people recommend and fitness people. But after that, you just take one a day, and most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is it's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs, potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc., may benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. And our incredible creatine gummies come in two flavors, sour apple and blue raspberry. Our sponsor, Bigly, went through dozens and dozens of different formulations with top formulators, and this is hands down absolutely delicious. Now, these taste so good, you're going to have to hide them from your children. But if gummies aren't the thing for you, we've got the amazing pure powder. It's all available again right now at thealexjonesstore.com for up to 40% off. Again, this is creatine monohydrate. Look it up. It's the gold standard. And it is so good for your body. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, InfoWarriors. Wow, it's 40% off store-wide for the holidays. Just look at these shirts. They would make a great gift for family and friends. You elves are doing a great job. These look wonderful.
Thank you, Santa.
Rudolph, with such great prices, what do you want me to get for you?
I love the Sea Moss gummies.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you guys are joining us, of course. Third hour program, final lap, of course. A lot happening here. We're keeping our eye on that House, the House Homeland Security committee hearing is going on right now. Chrissy Noem is present, and there was a little bit of a back and forth that we wanted to get to and bring you in clip 25. Noem, well, she just does what she did best, what she does best, and she completely destroyed one of the more recognizable lefties' lies about one of those Afghan refugees. Take a listen.
What you did. Madam Secretary, you and the gentleman from NCTC referenced the unfortunate accident that occurred with the National Guardsman being killed.
You think that was an unfortunate accident?
I mean,
it was a terrorist attack.
Wait. Look, I'll get it straight. Then you can
respond. Shot our National Guardsman in the head.
Look, Ms. Chairman, will you direct the witness to allow me to ask my question? It was an unfortunate situation.
Whew. Unfortunate situation. What the heck has happened with those on the left? Joining me to discuss right now is Liz Harrington. She's the former spokeswoman for President Donald Trump, and she joins us now. Liz, obviously, I mean, that is an egregious way to describe a terrorist attack, an individual who wasn't supposed to be in our country in the first place and then went and shot two National Guardsmen. Your reaction?
Brianna, this guy, I mean, that's a disgrace.
Yeah.
This guy is who led the, you know, sham J6 witch hunt show trial investigation. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. He's got his notes. He doesn't even know where that sentence was going to end. And does he have any idea? Unfortunate accident? I mean, that's a disgrace. So you still have the other National Guardsman who's trying to, you know, fight for his life. I mean, he hadn't been able to get out of bed, his hospital bed, since Thanksgiving. I mean, this is so disturbing and disgusting. And this is what happens when you have these types of corrupt, idiot, useful idiots in office who just do the bidding for the deep state. I mean, what a joke. And thank God Kristi Noem just interjected there. And then he gets upset and he's so offended. That is such a disgrace. That was a horrible attack on someone who should have never been here. That President Trump, you know, when I worked for him, he said this all the time because he knew this was going to happen. He talked about Afghanistan and that purposeful, deliberate, catastrophic withdrawal where they took the military out first and they let every Afghani in. I mean, you knew this was going to happen. And here we are all these years later. And it's because of, you know, idiots and absolute corrupt, sick people that it even happened, like this guy, Benny.
Yeah, Benny Thompson always, well, he never misses an opportunity to prove to the country that he is an absolute scumbag. I mean, to refer to that terror attack as that and be so dismissive is disgraceful. And like you just highlighted, the fact that we still have one more person who's fighting for his life right now. And Kristi Noem opening up her hearing by saying, you know, he's just started walking. We were able to get him up out of the bed and we're praying for his continuous recovery. Obviously, this is very concerning. And it's just so gross. I mean, obviously, Thompson is someone who has been accused by myself of being a treasonous pig with his behavior during the J6 committee, the intentional erasing of evidence that they gathered, the fact that they sat there and lied and tried their very best to just completely taint any jury who might be able to go in there and not have a bias. I mean, that's the reason why we saw all of that play out, those public hearings, the theatrics that were carried out. He's just a disgusting human being, and it's just shameful that people like him continue to have seats in our Congress. But I kind of want to shift gears a bit because, you know, Senator Rand Paul is calling out the AutoPen scandal, and he's uncovered obviously a lot and he's been exposing that, but he's passing everything on right now to the DOJ in regards to Dr. Anthony Fauci, and he hasn't really heard much on that front. Let's take a listen to clip 17.
Yeah, I agree with President Trump on this, and we should pursue it. The only way to pursue it is to go to court. So I have presented evidence that Anthony Fauci lied to Congress, which is a felony. I've also presented evidence that he instructed others to delete and destroy federal records. This is a crime as well. If you were in the executive branch, you're not allowed to delete or destroy records. These are crimes, and they would need to be tested in court, and then his pardon would be tested. So the Trump administration, the DOJ, would need to bring charges, bring him to court, and then his pardon would be challenged in court.
So we're constantly hearing about all these referrals that are being sent over to the DOJ. We're not seeing much in the way of follow-up there. Do you think this AutoPen scandal will ever go anything further than just us seeing all of the evidence kind of pour out there? Do you think there will be any type of criminal indictments here?
Well, there really needs to be, right? And it seems like President Trump is the one, the only one who's pushing for these things. You know, he makes these announcements. He puts all these things out. He directs people to do something, like make all of these Biden auto pen orders null and void. And I'm sure they have some people, you know, saying we're on it, sir. You know, we're working on it, but we need action. I mean, it's the same thing that we just kind of discussed there, Brianna, with this Benny Thompson, destroying evidence. And they keep getting away with this stuff because nobody ever comes after them for actual crimes. And we need, what? It's almost the end of the year. We already have 1 year in. And you know Congress isn't going to do anything next year because of the midterms. We're running out of time to get meaningful change. And the way you get meaningful change is holding people accountable. So they'll be afraid to do these illegal things in the future and tread all over our constitutional rights. So we have to see something. And there's so much. There's a whole host of things. And I was thinking about this too. You know, Kristi Noem and DHS, they've done a great job when it comes to securing the border and doing all those things to try to get illegal criminal aliens out. I think they need to do more. I think the largest deportation operation in history needs to be, you know, even larger than it is right now. However, there's also other things that they could do to clean up. Like every agency has so much that they could be doing. It's vast, but you can't get swallowed in that. We need action on all these different fronts. We need to be on offense. We can't get sucked into the next fake news propaganda scandal that will try to derail President Trump's agenda. And one of the biggest agenda items, it is cleaning up corruption and fixing our elections. Where's the backup here? He's put everything out. He's done the executive orders. He's not letting things like 2020 go. He's not letting things like the auto pen scandal go. But where are the foot soldiers who are carrying out his directives? That's what I want to see. We need to see movement on this. And it's like you get a couple, you get Comey, you get Letitia James, you get Lindsey Halligan, you know, doing what should be done. And then it seems like it's derailed again. So we have to make sure we're cleaning house at these agencies, making sure that there's some accountability at the very least. And I'm glad, you know, certain members of Congress are still pushing these issues and not giving up. But I mean, Congress isn't going to do anything next year. So we have to make sure that the executive branch and the people that are tasked with carrying out President Trump's agenda are actually doing what they tell him they're doing and what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I think that's the key point to this, right? Because they say a lot of things. It sounds good. It gets them like a Fox News soundbite, but the action is what's lacking. And, you know, you bring up a great point. We shouldn't let up on certain key issues, January 6th being obviously the one that you and I hold very close to our hearts, because we want to make sure that the people that were a part of this, that orchestrated this, are held accountable. And it's interesting because, you know, we're watching as that J6 pipe bomber suspect, he was just recently arrested, and the name that popped up as someone who followed a lot of these J6 trials was a kind of a head-scratcher. Jocelyn Ballantyne. She was a prosecutor who was accused, even of during General Flynn's persecution, of being very unethical. There were some issues that were brought up to the attention of those over at the DOJ then, Bill Barr specifically, about her then. But then she was also brought in to do the J6 persecutions as well. And for someone who we had on this show, Enrique Tarrio, you didn't like this woman because this woman obviously had a lot of lies that were spewed during his trial. But most importantly, he accused her of actually sliding over a document that alleged that he would say he would save himself ultimately if he lied and conducted this lie and was a participant in this lie that President Trump helped orchestrate January 6th and everything that unfolded at the Capitol that day. And he refused. And he says that he was sentenced to 22 years in prison because of that. But interesting enough, this woman still has a job and she's now still working to prosecute the pipe bomber, the alleged pipe bomber, I should say. President Trump was asked about this earlier this week. Let's play clip 20 to hear his reaction.
How do you feel about the lead prosecutor on the pipe bomber case? Jocelyn Ballantyne is the same prosecutor that allegedly asked the J6er to lie to frame you for J6 when you did nothing wrong. What are your thoughts?
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that question. It's sort of a statement, and I appreciate it very much. Jocelyn is being looked at. They all have to be looked at. What they're doing is so bad. This was a whole Democrat hoax. The whole thing was a Democrat hoax. and it's all being looked at. I appreciate that.
Now, I reached out to the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C., Judge Pirro, as many of us know her as from Fox News formerly, for comment on this to see why this individual still works in her office, and they did not get back to me. But obviously, this puts it on President Trump's radar now that he knows that this individual is still working there. Do you think any action will follow?
They better. Yeah. And they need to explain how this happened. I mean, how is President Trump probably finding out about this? Maybe just before this question, but certainly this question, you know, put it up to the forefront. I mean, Judge Jeanine, I love Judge Jeanine, but she probably didn't know about this either. I mean, how do you stand up there and have a press conference and give each other high fives and do, you know, a victory lap? And did you read the affidavit? Did you look who's prosecuting the case? Did you ask maybe any questions about where this evidence came from? I know they claim that they changed some of the case agents out, but this is insane. You cannot have the people who tried to frame President Trump and put him in prison for life, give him a death sentence to make him impossible for him to run again, still at the DOJ, in his DOJ. How are they still working there? How are they not the ones? She should be on the other side of that table, answering questions, being interrogated. This is so corrupt. The fact that you would slide over that offer full of lies. And this is why the FBI, they claim they're making reforms. I don't see it. That's not reform when you have a person who tried to frame President Trump leading your new, oh, so convenient, the random black kid who lives in the basement, who has autism, who walks his dog around the neighborhood, apparently only always wearing shorts, never wears pants, wears his red Crocs. I don't know. That's what the neighbors apparently say. That's, oh, how convenient. He has no ties to the Capitol Police. He has no ties to any government agency. Maybe Judge Jeanine and Cash Patel and Dan Bongino and Pam Bondi should have asked a question, if this is the pipe bomber, why did Biden's FBI go to such lengths to cover it up? It makes no sense. It's insane. If this was the guy, they don't care about some narrative. Like, if this was just some random guy, there was no government connection, then they would have just arrested him. You know, if this is the guy, it insults our intelligence, and it should insult their intelligence because they're smart people. But what are you doing? I'm sorry. I don't want to be super critical because I know it's extremely difficult to go in there and try to change things. However, come on, have some self-respect. You can't stand up there and do a press conference and expect us to believe this garbage, because it's garbage. I'm sorry. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, okay? Thomas Crooks didn't act alone, and this kid is not the pipe bomber. According to the evidence I've seen, when I read that affidavit, you know what it looked exactly like to me? The Mueller report. It looked like spinuendo. I think Lee Smith or somebody like that, back when the Mueller report came out, they said, you know, it's all this like insinuation and obfuscation. And when you read it, you're like, wait, there's nothing there. And they're experts at this because that's what they do. They lie and they leave things out and they put things in that don't make sense. And that's what that affidavit is. They don't have any evidence against this guy. They could go after anybody for buying sandpaper and end caps and pipes, you know, 2 years before January 6th. Yeah. I mean, it's just absurd. And I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, but they need to figure it out because you're letting FBI professionals who have been destroying this country, by the way, and will destroy the country if, God forbid, another, you know, illegitimate president gets in, like Joe Biden. They will destroy this country, and it'll be way worse than January 6th. It'll be way worse. So they need to clean house. Start with this Jocelyn Ballantyne. That's insane. Why is she even there? It's absolutely appalling.
Liz, we just asked for the basics, and the basics are firing this woman, getting her out of there, and then going after her to make sure she's disbarred, because all of these prosecutors who were involved in January 6th, who did, obviously lie and did manipulate the law to go after their political opposition, that needs to be addressed. These people should not be allowed to practice the law if they are found guilty on these types of accusations. I've seen enough. And, you know, it's great to hear you talking about the January 6th pipe bomb suspect, the individual that they've apprehended in regards to this, because the New York Post actually did a story. It was exclusive, saying that he was a big My Little Pony fan. Now, again, they want you to think that this is a mastermind behind the J6 pipe bomber, and he was somehow avoiding being captured by the DOJ, the FBI, because he was just so good at this, apparently. But the harsh reality is, if you deal with anyone or if you've known anyone who has autism, they're very easy to convince. I know there's a lot of reports saying that he's partially confessed to his role in all of this. I highly doubt that's even true, the FBI not confirming that. But again, this seems like an individual who's very vulnerable. And when you read through the criminal complaint, as you just detailed, when you read through it, you realize there's no physical evidence here. It's his cell phone pinging off of multiple towers. He could have been, you know, in a quarter mile of the area. He was also a DoorDash delivery driver, according to his family, his relatives. So that's that possibility as well. His car being picked up nearby on tags. Again, that's also a possibility for a DoorDash driver. And then they have these purchases, which doesn't make any sense that these purchases were made prior to even the election. I believe it was like 1 year prior to all of this. So you want me to believe that this individual was just so politically motivated that he planned this out in his head a year prior? It doesn't seem to make sense. And when we actually had the chairman of the J6 committee on the show yesterday, Barry Loudermilk, I asked him about it, and he didn't sound convinced. Like, he wasn't sold on it, but he was just kept pointing us to, well, the FBI said this and Dan Bongino said this. And so it sounds like there are other people who are on our side and don't actually believe what's in that criminal complaint just yet. I was told by the FBI more evidence coming soon, but they're on deadline. I haven't seen anything additionally added out there. So I'll throw that out there, Liz. I think you're spot on that 100%. You're also spot on when it comes to election fraud, too. I know you mentioned it earlier. We did see a lot of requests from the president for Republicans to crunch down and make sure that election fraud is a top issue for them, because it's a top issue for him. And we're not hearing that. But there was this really interesting statement that was made by a top election attorney talking about federal proof of citizenship laws. Now, this one's a real head scratcher, of course. We didn't think of this ourselves, and that's sarcasm, folks. Don't kill me on the internet. Take a listen to clip 18.
When first considered, Motor Voter was written to remove barriers and facilitate voter registration. This unfortunately led some states to remove verification requirements for the answers that applicants provided. Just this year, the Maryland State Board of Elections found that an illegal immigrant named Ian Roberts successfully registered to vote and requested absentee ballots in three different elections. Would verification requirements such as documentary proof of citizenship have prevented Ian Roberts from illegally voting?
And the answer to that is probably yes. Mm. Depends on the details. But we have a variety of technologies available to us that we're not using, which this committee could statutorily encourage or require.
Yeah, so apparently verifying someone's citizenship would stop illegal people from voting. I mean, illegal aliens from voting in our elections. Liz, this is groundbreaking to hear.
Imagine that, if you actually check that somebody, you know, if they're a citizen or not. And it's the same thing, you know, in Maryland where I live, or other states, they don't even let you, like California, they don't even let you check voter ID. I mean, it's insane. No first world country runs their elections this way. It's because they want to turn us into a total banana republic. I mean, our elections are a total joke. This is one of many reasons that the mass mail-in ballots, obviously, and the electronic systems that are so easily manipulated. Somebody else sent me a clip yesterday from down in Georgia. It's so notorious. There's so much evidence from Fulton County from 2020, but how they just let this third-party company, No Inc., they run the poll pads, and they just let them delete election records. Yep. No big deal. It happens all the time. You don't even have any verification of what the results are and what they say they are. And that's what these elections are, a fiction. And people keep wondering how, you know, these races keep turning out and people don't, you know, this didn't match any of the polling, like the crazy, AG candidate in Virginia who literally texted about killing the Republican Speaker of the House and hoping that Republicans his opponent's children die. I mean, that guy gets elected by 6 points when he was trailing in the polls by at least 10. But then everyone just moves on. And then they say, oh, well, Republicans just need to do better. We didn't get out the vote. Oh, we didn't have good enough candidates. And it's at a certain point, people just get so demoralized and they say, well, nothing's going to change. Why bother? And we cannot let that happen. So again, it ties into so much of what we've been talking about. We need accountability. We need people to put the agenda into action, and we have to clean up our elections. I mean, it's just no, the people want it. The people want a safe, a fair election. They want it to be one day. They want it to be in person and make it a national holiday. Whatever needs to be done, make it secure. Go back to paper ballots. Count it at the precinct level. It's fast. It is secure. And it really limits the cheating that goes on, because the cheating is so massive right now. And again, they don't even care about the illegals voting. It's just a name on the registration list. They don't have to show up. It doesn't have to. It's just a name that will get plugged in. Just like all this fraud going on in all the different agencies with Obamacare or Social Security. It's just a name. It's just a name to use. Same with Act Blue. From a phantom donor, a phantom voter. It is so corrupt, and we have to eliminate these electronic systems and all these other vulnerabilities if we're going to be able to elect another President Trump in the future, because, well, we won't ever have anybody like him again, unfortunately. But someone who's outside the system, who's not controlled, we will not have a prayer if we have this corrupt voting system. There's just no way.
Yeah. And Liz, we got about a minute left, but you know, you and I have both covered Fulton County extensively in regards to the fraud that's popped up over there. Obviously we know about the criminal persecutions that they've been leading as well against the president. Any update on how Fulton County plans on crunching down on the fraud that's gone on for many years now?
Ed Martin was, I think working on this, and he had sent letters. He said to stay tuned. You know, I need to follow up and see if there's a good update there, because we have to do something. He thinks the ballots have been destroyed. I mean, they have been arguing back and forth in court. They keep canceling the court hearings every time, because the courts have already ruled that Garland Favorito and these other individuals have a right to look at the mail-in ballots from 2020 in Fulton County. And that was like 2 years ago, and they still haven't been able to see them. So just dig down on one of these places. Fulton County would be a great place to start. And you would have such a mandate for change in our elections, because it's so corrupt. You go and look at these places and open their books, give them the Trump treatment like they did, you know, opening all his records and millions of documents, and he did nothing wrong. If he did that to a Fulton County election office, you better believe you would find something. We have to clean it up. I know patriots down there are still fighting hard for transparency and trying to get those records, but they're, again, if you don't get accountability for 2020, you're not really going to get any change.
Yeah, you're not, and accountability must follow after what we had to witness over these last few years. Liz Harrington, thank you for all the incredible work you do all the time. So, folks, give her a follow on X as well. You do a great job at sounding off on a lot of these key issues and not allowing the distractions to consume you, your Twitter feed, or anything else. So we appreciate you for doing just that. Give her a follow. Liz, thank you. We appreciate your time as always.
Great to see you. Thanks.
Great to see you. Folks, I want to remind you, we have 40% off going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. Make sure you head on over there. Get your Christmas shopping on over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's time to stock up. And we appreciate what you do, because you help keep us on air when you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right. Tomorrow, I will not be in this chair. I've taken a day off. I'll be back on Monday. Rob Dew will be filling in for me, and I'm grateful for that. So make sure you tune in. Ken Stubb will be joining him as well. In the meantime, though, stay put. The Alex Jones Show is next.
I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife. And whenever you're at home
day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the methylene blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today. So I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought a line that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. And we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so, finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.